Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so we've got a massive interview today organised by Christian at KRNTV. Huge thank you to him. His link will be in the description box. Darren was interviewed and it just went viral right away. 100,000 views within days. It was gone. It got took down. But you're going to see Darren is a high energy individual with... All right, and we've got Jen, Brimmer and Jen, Organic Cotton Clothing, all links.
Beautiful, Jen.
Thank you. You're too kind.
All right, Darren. So we're going to go to then, like, about you growing up and everything before we get to the crime and the fighting and all that kind of it. And was it Aldershot? And
what do you want to know? Want to know where I was from?
Yeah, where were you from? What was it like growing up?
Right, so my old man was in the army, moved about quite a lot as a nipper. My mum is from Aldershot, the Aldershot area. So I'd say I'm from the southeast. One town in particular. I went to school in a little town in Hampshire whenever I went. Fairly normal childhood. Got an older brother who's 3 years older than me. Very different to me. He's into music. He's very placid, like a hippie. Do you know what I mean? Love him dearly, you know. I wasn't necessarily a naughty chap, as a naughty kid, not one of these violent kids. I was more of a cheeky little, you know, more of a cheeky little, very high energetic, you know, probably now you'd probably call me autistic or ADHD or something like that. But back then it weren't all I was known. I wasn't allowed to drink Coca-Cola or Blue Smarties, you know, because they used to send me nutty. But fairly normal childhood. Parents separated when I was quite young, so we end up staying down, you know, in the southeast in Hampshire and Surrey, that sort of area. Weren't till I was about 40. I was always into my boxing. I was always loving my boxing, because my dad was a boxer, you know, in the army, and I was always into boxing and combat sports.
From what age?
I think, well, my dad used to get me and my brother messing about with gloves from before we could walk. But the first time I went into an actual boxing gym, which was Borden ABC, I think I was about seven or 8 years old. You know, done it for a while. But, you know, when you're a kid, you do it and then you fuck about for, you know, it was very on and off. Then I went back when I was about 14, had a couple of junior fights, a bit of kickboxing, a little bit of everything. But I didn't really start being a little shit till I was about 15, just leaving school, you know. That's when, you know, things sort of went downhill.
That was my next question. What were you like in school?
Like I said, more of like a cheeky little, not really a naughty boy as such, just more of a cheeky little, you know. More like a class clown more than anything, you know.
Did you have any favourite subjects?
Do you know what I used to like? Well, obviously PE. I always loved PE. I used to love drama. I really loved drama because I felt I could, you know, accentuate myself. I used to love drama. I was actually, I was in a school play and I got a scholarship for some, I don't know what they're called, you know, an acting school, whatever they're called. But my mum wouldn't let me do it. Oh. I don't know why, but my mum wouldn't let me do it. You never know. I could have been the next fucking James Bond or something.
You know. You never know.
No. Is everyone in your family massive?
Because
you're what, 6'4", something like that?
Fucking hell, I don't know about that. in Alton Police Station, I'm 6'7", but no.
Well, I'm 6'1", and I was looking up to you.
No, well, about 6'2", I'd say, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is your hippie brother, is he?
He's a bit shorter than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and my dad's side are quite short, really, but my mum's side are quite tall, yeah.
That's who got it from.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. My mum's 8'3".
Wow.
No, I'm joking.
I'm gullible still.
So, like, people who get into fighting then in the beginning, they've got to get used to getting hit and all things like that. But it sounds like you're just born into it, so it was a natural thing for you.
Well, I don't think anyone likes getting hit, do they? But, you know, coming away with a busted nose. But it's,
yeah.
You can't swim without getting wet. It's part of it, you know?
Yeah,
And this sounds weird, but when I was a young boxer, when I was a young kid, I did used to suffer quite a lot with nerves. I did. I'm not ashamed to admit that. Because I didn't, this is no disrespect to my dad, but because I didn't have a dad around, I had no one to guide me and push me through it. And the trainers would do their best. And it weren't the same. Me mum saying, oh, you're all right. She didn't, she's a female, no disrespect. She didn't know nothing about boxing or anything. And I did suffer a lot with nerves. But then as I got older, fighting as an adult to a junior, it's two different things. And I think because I've had so many altercations outside, now I don't give a fuck, you know? You know, it's crazy.
And kickboxing then, do you prefer to use your fists, feet, what?
Yeah, at my stage, I'm 31 now, my age now, I just prefer boxing, bare-knuckle boxing, you know? I do love glove boxing as well, but the kickboxing, I don't mind training a bit of kickboxing, but as for fighting, no, just the boxing, the bare-knuckle.
And who were your idols early on in the boxing world?
Looking back now, it was Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I used to love Mike. Yeah. He was just the sheer fucking nastiness, and he was just vicious. He was aggressive. But now, as I've matured more as a boxer, I look at more people like Joe Calzaghe, you know, because I didn't like him because I found him boring. But if you look, he boxed the majority of his pro career with bad hands, you know, and to win against the fighters he did with bad hands, you know, I look at it for more of a thinking man sport than raw aggression. But Mike Tyson, he's still the man, but, you know, just it was people like Calzaghe now, I suppose.
And you said earlier on, like, you're from a military family, you had to move around a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that feel, having to move around? Did you have to go to different schools and stuff?
Yeah, but I was too young to remember. In all honesty, I was too young to remember. I was, what, 4 or 5, you know? So yeah. I was too. My parents split when I was about 6, so I don't really recall too much of it.
You see a lot of these families then, the kids end up going in the military as well.
Yeah.
Was that ever a thought?
As I say, because when my parents split up, I didn't really see too much of my old man.
Mm.
So maybe if he was in my life, and this isn't a criticism of him, maybe if he was in my life more, things could have been different, you know? Mm. I probably wouldn't have been such a little shit. He'd probably give me a clip around the ear, but, you know, enough to turn me off it. But who knows? It's one of them things. Who knows?
So what was your relationships like, your first relationship?
What are you asking? all good, I suppose.
Yeah.
I'm very good friends with a lot of my exes, not all of them, a lot of them. I've got one probably was my childhood sweetheart. I won't name her, I don't want to embarrass her, but I'm still very good friends with her to this day. Sometimes I go around there, she cooks me a Sunday roast and stuff like that, but it's purely platonic. She's got about 300 kids now, do you know what I mean? You know, God bless her, she's got about 300 kids, but she's a lovely girl and I still, you know, meet up with her and still, you know what I mean?
What do they think about the boxing?
A couple of my girls have been to my fights and that. But this is going to make me sound really arrogant, but they've all ended pretty quick with me winning. So it's not as if they've seen me covered in blood. I'm sure it's going to happen one day. But at the minute, I've always been, I don't know, lucky or I've been blessed. So I've done the damage, not been too damaged myself, you know? Yeah.
What about then getting in trouble with the cops? When did that start?
That started...
And did you get in trouble in school as well?
Yeah, I was always in trouble, yeah.
Were you one of the biggest in your year group?
Nah, not at all. I was quite short as a
kid.
I was quite short and stocky, and then I, you know, had a growth spurt, and I was quite tall and lanky, and then I just filled out more, but...
So when you were short then, did people try and pick on you?
I wouldn't say I was bullied, really. I'd say I'd have more, like, falling out with people and, you know, silly little things, but as I say, I wasn't really a violent kid. I was a violent kid, as in... You know, when other kids were playing with cars, I was drawing blood on them, the action men, and making them fight each other. You know, I was a bit nutty in that respect. But
yeah.
I wasn't really... The violence didn't really come until I was about 15, 16.
What triggered that?
I don't think there was much trigger. I know some psychologists or psychiatric people will say, single parent household, he was looking for a father, you know, and they're trying to evaluate me and things like that. I just think I just loved fighting, you know, I just really loved going out on a Friday, Saturday night. We had a lot of young squaddies where we lived. It was a military town, so, you know, going up on the top of the town and kicking fuck out loads of squaddies was a good
sport.
Entertainment. Was a sport, you know. The more bloodier, the better. I know that sounds really bad, but I suppose it's the same for every working class kid growing up and down the country, and there's loads of lads get into that
soccer hooliganism, and things like that.
Yeah.
So was that in Aldershot then, these battles?
No, a little town quite near Aldershot.
Yeah. What, Frimley?
No, Borden. Do you know where Borden is?
No.
It's a little one-horse town.
Okay.
Yeah. Even the horses run away, but yeah.
Yeah, I had an ex-girlfriend out of Farnborough.
Yeah.
So we used to have been in Aldershot a few times.
Aldershot, so I lived in Aldershot from about when I was about 17. And Aldershot, I've got a lot of time for Aldershot. I still go back there. My mum lives in Aldershot. Still got a lot of time and people in Aldershot, I know, you know.
Yeah, spoke at the Connaught School a few times. That's in it, Aldershot.
Yeah.
So when did the police start getting involved in your life?
I think the first time I got nicked, I was about 12.
Holy shit.
Stealing out of HMV in Guildford, nicking CDs.
Yeah.
I, in all fairness, I didn't actually steal. I was like handling the stolen goods. Like we'd go in there, peel the fucking security bar off. And we got caught and we just had loads of bags of shit. There's loads of stuff. I remember I cried my eyes out thinking it was just before Christmas. It was like the 15th of December or something like that. And I remember just crying my eyes out. Not because the old bill, I couldn't give a fuck about them, but what my mum would say, you know. I ain't going to get no Christmas presents, you know.
So did you just get a warning for that one?
Yeah, just a caution. Yeah.
Slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
So what about your second?
Do you know what a second was? Joyriding, I can never forget, it was joyriding a push bike.
What?
I saw a push bike outside the local youth club, started pulling wheelies on it. It was pathetic, really. I just started pulling wheelies on it and then put it back. Someone obviously reported that I had a go on it and it got me, it was so pathetic. Joyriding a push bike.
I never even heard of that one.
I know.
You understand if I, you know, you probably get some people on it that live in rough areas in Liverpool and London and Manchester, you know, 9 years old, they're out robbing motorbikes and cars. I got done for joyriding a fucking push bike growing up in Hampshire, you know.
Wow.
Even Jen dodged that one with your 11 arrests, didn't you?
Yeah, but it was similar stuff, stupid shit like that.
Stupid stuff, innit?
Stupid shit.
Every time I've been nicked, not saying that I do bad things, but the things that I've been nicked for or been in trouble for are stupid fucking things, irrelevant, ridiculous fucking things, you know?
Just being a cheeky little shit.
Just being a cheeky little shit most of the time, yeah.
So what was the punishment for that one, the joyride?
I think that was a second warning, like a second caution type thing, or a fine, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who were your mates at this point in your life when you was a teenager?
We had quite a close knit. We used to call us, well, people used to call us the Bored and Mush Boys.
Bored and Mush Boys.
Yeah, the fuck knows why. But we'd go to little towns, we'd go to other little towns, and if they had a little gang or whatever, we'd start fighting with them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, trying to be hooligans, really. And the papers, this is where you can never believe anything they say in the paper. They were like, violent criminal gang target other towns. And it was like, we were a bunch of 15, 16-year-olds writing graffiti and having the odd tear-up. We were hardly a sophisticated criminal unit, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever nick off the milk vans?
Yeah, a few times. But I never nicked money.
It was always just the milk.
Bottles and then oranges. Yeah,
100%. Oranges, yeah.
Yeah, that was like, if you found a gold cap, it was like an award.
In all fairness, I might have done that the other day. Oh, no. I don't know. This allegedly happened.
Allegedly.
I was on my morning run, and the poor milkman, I was like, fuck it, why not? And I just finished my run, so I just went, whoop, boom. Bit of protein after me run, wasn't it? Allegedly. But that didn't really happen,
allegedly,
of course.
Allegedly.
There was no cameras on the van or anything. No. So when was the first time that you got in police trouble that you had to go into the cells?
Oh, no, but that was the first time, was when we got done for HMV. You know, we got chucked in proper like convicts then, chucked in the cells, everything.
How long were you in there for?
Oh, I can't remember. I got out that night, I remember, because I remember seeing my mum's face, and that really upset me, seeing my mum, you know what I mean? Even though it was something pathetic, it's still enough to, you know, but then I'm afraid it was a slippery slope down from there.
Did they try and scare you straight, the cops at that point?
Yeah, I suppose so. Didn't really have much effect, but yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So when was the first time you got a proper sentence then?
Well, I've never actually had a proper sentence. I've been on remand a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was that for then?
What the fuck's it got to do with you?
We are a true crime podcast.
I'll be completely honest, because this is my... people have had their fucking say about me. I'll give my... I am very unlucky when it comes to birds. I've had some very fucking toxic relationships. Very toxic. The court case that just happened, I don't mind admitting I've done fuck all... I generally didn't do fuck all wrong. I could sit here and chew your ears off till the thing comes home. I was collecting the debt off some little fucking fanny, excuse my language, a little prick, a keyboard warrior, yeah? He didn't have the arsehole to honour his debts, and two, he couldn't come meet me, so he decided to fuck it up in other ways. He rang up the girl I was with, who at the time, I genuinely liked this girl. I'm not ashamed to say, I really like this girl. He said, Darren's been messing about with another bird, and I genuinely hadn't. Anyway, this girl... genuinely at the time I really liked this girl, and when I'm with someone I'm quite a loyal person. Anyway, this girl got absolutely spun her nut, gone fucking crazy. She's contacted another ex-girlfriend of mine. This ex-girlfriend was a fucking nut job. This one was actually a nice girl, you know, she's just prick now, but she was a nice girl at the time. She's contacted this very toxic ex of mine, and I mean proper off the wall mental, been sectioned, kids taken off her, proper nut job, who's told her loads of fucking horrible things. Told her I'm a hitman, I'm a fucking this, I'm that, do you know what I mean, I kill people for money, loads of shit,
just stirring the pot,
you know, stirring the pot, doing what bitter jealous exes do best. Anyway, so she's this girl, she's got a couple of kids, she's freaked out, run the old bill. There's one police officer, one fucking prick of a police officer, it's been on my case for years. Yeah, he's done what the old Bill do best and filled her head with even more shit, right? Filled her head with even more shit. Look at me, I'm 6'1", 6'2", 17 stone, professional fighter. If I was to get aggressive with anyone, let alone a 9 stone female, they'd have a mark on them, wouldn't they? They'd be damaged, you know. And I know it doesn't, in domestic situations, it doesn't have to be physical. I completely understand that. But I treated that girl so fucking good. But this bitter ex and this prick of a police officer filled her head with so much shit. You know, she genuinely, they brainwashed her so much, actually thought I was a bad person. They've chucked me straight on remand in hidedown for 6 months. You know, fucking wankers. I mean, I'm not an angel. I'm not going to sit here and make out a Mother Teresa, because I'm fucking not. I'm a little bastard most of the time. Well, I was, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I'd have, I said this on a previous podcast, if I'd have been caught doing a blag or been caught with a kilo of puff in my motor or broke someone's jaw outside, I think I'd sit in prison. I'd be like, fair enough, it's the life you live, it's the life you chose. Do you know what I mean? But because I didn't, it made me very resentful and very bitter.
I can imagine.
You know, it did.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing is, domestic violence and domestic abuse is a big topic. It is a disgusting thing, you know, and it's something that needs to be addressed. But we can't address it without addressing false accusations. There's so many men in the prison system that, or, you know, they're in there on the word of a scorned woman, you know.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to females. That's not, I love women, do you know what I mean? That is no disrespect to females at all. All males that get accused of it, you know, but hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. I've got a lad who I won't mention by name, got done for rape,
yeah, keep names out, yeah.
Yeah, he got done for the wrong one, you know, he got done for rape, right? He's a nice lad, you know, he's a bad-looking lad. The bird that he allegedly done, fucking, was out the following week wearing a bra and knickers going, what man can take me home tonight? Do you know what I mean? That's, someone gets that awful thing done to you, you don't act like that, do you? You know? And he's got to live with that conviction for the rest of his life, you know? And it's disgusting. We can't address domestic abuse unless we target false accusations and get to the bottom of them. All it takes now, say me and Jen had a disagreement now. She rings the old Bill.
What?
Sorry to bring you up. All it takes, guess what? Darren's just shouted at me. Darren's done this. I'll be blank banged that for 6 months, you know?
You know,
it could be a two-way argument. You could punch me in the face and I'll say, fuck off. I'll get banged that for 6 months.
Yeah.
We've campaigned so long for women's rights, and rightly so. It's the year 2022. I completely understand, you know, we are all equal, but we've surpassed men now. We've surpassed men in the fact that it's almost a crime to be a man now. It really is. It's almost like
it's gone too far.
You know, I go and see my mum, and like me mum's neighbours' little kids come running up to me, and instead of giving them a hug, you're thinking, "Oh, is someone going to think I'm a wrong'un if you give them a hug?" And it's like, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You should be able to do things like that. You know, it's almost a crime to be a man now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also quite sad for the victims of domestic violence.
Of course, it is. Course. Exactly. That's what I've always said. There is women and men getting beaten, abused every fucking day, every
it's
day.
Sad.
Do you know what I mean? But they're not getting their voices heard because of these people that make false accusations. Look at these footballers that, you know, millions of pounds in their pockets, and then some bird cries rape and calls it the newspapers, you know?
What it is, I think, there's no consequences for them doing that.
There isn't, no.
They don't get prosecuted then for making a false
charge. It can come in now that, you know, the police can take over if they're found to be lying.
Okay, that's how it should be.
I think
be.
There is a charge that
comes
across.
The thing is, the police look at that as an easy conviction. You know, every conviction they get, they go higher up in their job, don't they? So instead of going after fucking proper villains or criminals or nonces or something like that, they'll nick Fred Smith for having a Barney with his woman.
Or young people with low-level drugs.
Exactly. Yeah. It's fucking pathetic. Yeah. It really is. The world is so shit. But
it's all upside down. Yeah. But we had Stephen French on, the devil. Don't know if you're familiar with him out of Liverpool.
Yes.
And he ended up in a similar situation, and he was in the general population. I think he got attacked over it, but he was innocent. So he's campaigning now, you know, for that.
What did he get nicked for?
I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something along the lines of what you're saying.
A false accusation.
So he's campaigning now.
Well, it's like when somebody's like a proper villain or something. What's the worst you can call them? A grass. You know, it's almost like, you know, I tell you what we'll do. We'll call him a grass.
Yeah.
You know, with me, Surrey Police couldn't get me in court. So what they've done, they put a Facebook status about me on Surrey Police's website saying, because anyway, I had to plead guilty to, I said to my barrister, I said, look, I was in remand 6 months and I was on tag for a year. Went to court and I said to my barrister, I said, look, how can I make this go away? I just want to go home. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking been going on nearly 2 years. Right, if you plead guilty to a thing called controlling behaviour, you'll go home, right? So I've done that, went home. A couple of days later, Surrey Police have put up this big picture with a five-year-old picture of me. It's 5 years old. Do you know what I mean? I've been in the police station for 2 days, looking fucking pale as fuck, horrible. Do you know what I mean? And they're saying, Darren Hendry, give my address of my friend's house I was staying at. Give their address, you know, and they couldn't get me in court, so they've tried to ruin me socially.
Are they allowed to just put your address out there
like that?
That's dangerous.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is. But
they doxed you.
Yeah, of course they have. But they couldn't get me in court, so they've tried to ruin me. So the tactics they use are worse than villains themselves, worse than criminals themselves. When I was inside, they were going up to ex-girlfriends of mine saying, oh, we know you've got kids. If you don't make a statement, we have the power to take your kids off you. Make a statement against Darren. And my exes were going, well, no, Darren was lovely to me. He was a perfect gentleman. He was an absolute perfect gentleman to me. But they'd let me know that the old bill had spoke to him. I said, look, I'm so sorry, darling, you had to go through that. And they're like, no, it's fine, but they've got a proper hard on for you.
Well, this ties into one of the things we're campaigning for in this channel, is that the police, the system's so corrupt and upside down, and a lot of it comes from up top. And then you've got the corrupt officers doing the kind of things that Darren says. It needs a complete overhaul. The war on drugs needs to end. That's behind a lot of the corruption. And all those resources could be going after the serious criminals that you mentioned.
Exactly. Yeah, but they won't waste their time with that, will they?
They want an easy way out.
Yeah,
the easy arrests are the lowest hanging fruit, aren't they? Yeah. In America, they've got arrest quotas.
Yeah.
Have they got that in the UK?
I don't know. Yeah. So they've got to make a certain amount.
Yeah. So I had one cop say, I just go in a black neighbourhood, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. Yeah.
Wrong, isn't
it? Yeah.
You're not a fucking estate agent trying to get your numbers up, are you? You know, it's people's freedom, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what was it like on remand?
It's just boring.
Did they come and snatch you, or did you have to go in yourself?
No, they fucking... They come and nick me from the flat I was having at the time. And
was it a SWAT situation?
No, I've had that a few times, but fucking this time it was just because me and this girl hadn't had an argument. We hadn't even had a disagreement, so that's why it was just like, I'll be in and out within a couple of hours. But then they were reeling off all these fucking charges. They were so petty. I mean, one of them was once I was doing the washing up in the kitchen and he slapped me on the bottom. I was like, who the fuck ain't slapped their bird on the arse in when they're doing the washing up? It was a fucking joke. But going back to the SWAT thing,
is that on to you, Jen?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, going back,
of course.
Going back to the SWAT thing, I did discuss it on the interview that got taken down.
Was the SWAT before the remand?
Yeah. That was for something completely different.
Oh, let's go over that, yeah.
Yeah, that was something completely different. I was in bed with a young lady, right? Mm. And then next, about 4 o'clock in the morning, bang, they've booted the door down. If they'd have fucking knocked politely, I'd have said, come in, gentlemen, I'll make you a cup of tea. But they didn't. They decided to boot the fucking door down. Shoot was pointing at me fucking head. Because I allegedly, I'd shot someone's windows through. This allegedly, of course, because it didn't fucking happen. shot his windows through with a shotgun. They took me to wherever Nick... my friend, shout out TD Flooring. He was coming to carpet my front room, and they were like, oh, we've got to wait for forensics and ballistics because we believe he's discharged a firearm. As if I'm going to sit there in my fucking front room, watching Coronation Street, oh, me tea, love, whilst I discharge this fucking 12 board. Do you know what I mean? How stupid do they fucking get? You know. But anyway, that got squashed. But the cunt that grassed me up. Oh, excuse my language, so I'll call in language. Fine. He said that Well, he grasped him up later because he got left with a pig's head on his doorstep.
Wow.
Yeah, he alleged that I cut off a pig's head with a machete and stuck it on his doorstep.
Probably did it himself.
Probably. Mm. It wasn't a machete, it was a kitchen knife anyway. Do you not know? No, I'm joking. Yeah.
So you got swatted. Did they take you in for questioning or all
that? Yeah, they took me in for questioning and got no NFA because yeah. They came back to the flat. They'd forensic to see that I didn't discharge a firearm in my front room, you know, and it just got thrown out.
Yeah. And like in America then, I think you read that book in prison.
I read that in Wandsworth.
And there's the SWAT team scene. Is it similar, like they just door comes down and they all open up with the guns, hands above, get on the ground.
But this young lady I was with was stuck bollock naked, you know, she had her boobs flapping everywhere and stuff. And I was just like, look, let the poor lady put some fucking clothes on your slags, do you know what I mean?
Well, they're just screaming at you.
I don't give a fuck about me. I was like, hey, come on, do you know what I mean?
I could ask then, was there female officers present?
I don't think there was, no.
No.
I don't know, they had all the mufti on, so I didn't see.
Yeah. So what happened with her then? Did she just hide under the bed sheets or did she have to get the floor naked?
I think she put some clothes on when I'm, but okay. I don't really know.
Okay. Yeah. And you said you've been swatted multiple times.
Not the best way to start a first date. No.
Didn't put that on your Tinder profile.
No, exactly.
Did she block you after that?
No, she's a good girl. She's a good girl. Like I say, I'm good friends with the majority of my exes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Same here.
You're definitely approachable guys. So yeah,
I can see. Lovely. Yeah. Pillar of the fucking community.
So you said you swatted multiple times.
Yeah, a few times, yeah.
Was the next swat before the remand?
No, that was a Mickey Mouse thing. But the charge sheet was like, he's extremely dangerous, known to have firearms, and he's a boxer. It was like, they've come back and, you know, for just a little Mickey Mouse charge, there was like 20 fucking officers in my tiny little flat. There was like 20 officers. Are you going to come quietly, Mr. Henry? I was like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Just, you know.
But you're not
going to
say no.
No, exactly. Because you know? I knew it'd be, so I thought it would be an open and shut case. I'd be in and out, you know, but so that wasn't to be.
Where were you the day of your arrest then for the remand period?
In my flat. At home.
In your flat.
Yeah.
And they just showed up.
Yeah.
And they just asked you to go with them.
Yeah.
And you just complied.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah, of course. Yeah. And I was completely honest with my barrister from the beginning, but he's just one prick of a copper who's just proper got an hard on for me. I don't know whether I'll remind him of someone that bullied him at school or his old woman fancies a bit of me. I honestly don't know. But he's just a proper, sad, silly, bitter little man who needs to get on and catch some proper people.
He's your nemesis then.
Yeah.
Going into High Down, was that the first one you went into?
I've been in there on remand for a little Mickey Mouse thing before, but High Down's, High Down's actually, as far as prisons go, it's all right, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, but this time, it was obviously COVID. So you're in your cell 23 and a half hours a day. I had a decent cellmate in High Down. I had a decent cellmate. He was a good lad. Used to just train together and stuff like that. And I taught him how to hold the pads. We just used flip-flops. And so I was keeping fit and sharp in there. And
so you said hold the pads. Did you have to like make your own stuff?
And just use flip flops. Yeah.
Flip-flops.
Just use flip flops. Yeah.
So what, you just punch at the
fucking...
We had toilet rolls in socks.
Oh God, creative.
Well, for a speed bag.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Touch wood, I'll never go back, but if it does, I'll remember.
So what was your fitness routine in High Down?
Well, because you were only allowed out half an hour when they allowed you it. An hour a day, sometimes. It was mainly just lifting water bottles as weights and, you know, cell workouts and stuff like that.
Did you put the water bottles in, like, sweaters and stuff? Or
no.
We had water bottles in sweaters on the ends of brooms.
Yeah, we've done that.
Buckets of water.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah.
And we just got rip up a pillowcase and tie it round, use that as a handle.
Pillowcases.
Yeah. Use that as a handle. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But when I went to Wandsworth was like a proper, you know, like the old films like Porridge and
ancient,
stuff like
isn't
that.
Isn't it?
Oh, it's ancient, you know. Yeah. And I was like a fish out of water there. I discussed this on my previous podcast. They put this nutty Irish geezer in with me. I had a single cell for 2-3 days and they put this nutty Irish geezer. All right, mate, how you doing, Paddy? All right. And then, because I'd come from another jail, I'd had all my luxuries, you know, peanut butter, protein powder, things like that. And I woke up one morning, the first night he was there, or the second night, I was like, Paddy, where's all my stuff?
No.
Where's all my stuff gone? He goes, wait, I'll just ask me twin brother. I said, what? You want? I said, what are you on about? I said, what are you about, you mad cunt? I said, there's only me and you in this cell. And he's like, I know, but sometimes my brother plays tricks on me, so I'll have to ask my brother. He goes, yes, he said he hasn't got them. Anyway, the screws walked past. I said, excuse me, can you have a look at that bin out there? Lo and behold, me protein, me peanut butter. So
what, was it eaten?
No. He just threw it outside. He was just a fucking...
No.
But these sort of people, imagine if he'd have cut me throat in his sleep. You know, it wasn't me, it was me brother. You know?
Did you have to discipline him for that?
Yeah.
And how did that go down?
No peanut butter for you.
No. I'll give him... Sit in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. You and your brother.
Yeah, you and your brother. Yeah, you can be me punch bag. I think I'll give... I'm not... Do you know what? I'm not a bully of a liberty taker. I think I'll just give him a little back.
Seriously mentally ill, isn't he?
Yeah. But then people shouldn't be in prison. They should be in a health ward.
In America, the prison is the biggest house of the mentally ill.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But they should be getting... If you're mental, you're sick, ain't you? You're ill, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
You should be in a hospital. You should be getting cared for accordingly.
Yeah. So I'm getting letters from people in Arizona prison, like T-Bone, saying the guards are going around in spacesuits. We're locked down. It's the pandemic. Everyone's stressed out. Who's got it? Who's got, you know... Is it all weird now because of that?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. But who brings it in? It's not the prisoners. They're fucking stuck. It's the screws, isn't it? Oh, I'd fucking hate to be in an American prison.
Yeah, that's proper prison
out there, isn't it? Fuck.
Because you received a copy of Hard Time in Wanzas. Do you want to tell the viewers that story? Because they'll be interested. A lot of them have read it.
No, so when I'm with Nick, I prefer, instead of watching TV, I prefer to read me books. You know what I mean? You can waste hours. Well, not waste. You can use up hours reading a book. And I got me mum, bless her, to send me in some books. But and one of them was this.
Yeah,
one of them was this. I really enjoyed reading it.
What do you think of it, really?
Load of shit. No,
it was good. 1 star on Amazon.
Yeah. If I knew how to use Amazon, yeah. No, but I really did enjoy it, yeah.
So what were your other inmates like?
To be honest, prison's not difficult, you know. It's not difficult. It's the lads my age in there, all the white boys, like, spoke, you know, they obviously, because they come from London, they all spoke like black lads, you know what I mean? I think they had an identity crisis. They wouldn't understand if they was from Cambridge or Jamaica, you know? so all the old people I got on were either old school villains or like the traveller lads, because where I grew up, you know, a lot of my friends are travellers and that, so, you know. But there's some decent people behind the door. There's some decent people behind the door.
Did you see any violence? Not every person.
I think people have got to be so careful who they judge and what they read, because there is a lot of people in prison who not necessarily are guilty, and there's a lot of people that get away with things that aren't innocent, you know?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
But
so, did you see much violence?
Nah, not really. Oh. Not really. I think I did get hit with a pool ball and a sock.
What?
Yeah.
Over what?
Do you know how pathetic it was? How pathetic it was, because I hadn't had my exercise. I think I swore at some cunt, some fella. Excuse my language. I swore at some fella. And he started going, I'll kill you, bruv, I'll kill you, bruv. I said, go on then. Anyway, he got banged up. And then when I was in the dinner queue, his cellmate come from behind me, whacked me on the back of the head, whacked me on the back of the head with a pool ball and a sock. But not only did he do it from behind, every time, you probably notice all my scars, I've all come from behind. I've all come from behind. Not only did he do it from behind, he done it in front of the screws. So what's going to happen? The minute I go to get him, the screws just jumped all over him. So didn't even have
a shit move.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Gee, fuck it. But that's prison life. Where I've grown up, this is what people, for all its faults, people are quite fair. They've got an issue. Sometimes tools come out, but most of the time it's take your shirt off, meet up, and then let's have a fight. You know, shake hands after. Prison, there is no rules. There is no rules. And that's what's so sad about society nowadays. You know, I've been stabbed in two different places where the nicest, in Surrey, which isn't supposed to be a really lovely, eloquent area, I got stabbed in Godalming, which is one of the
Godalming.
And Farnham. And Farnham, which are two of the nicest, areas to live in the southeast.
Or they are
in
so the posh, aren't they, exactly, those areas?
You know, but then I've done work all around the country and never had nothing. It's mental, isn't it? But that's how society is nowadays.
I can't ask about these stabbing stories.
Run it down. What happened?
In Godalming.
In Godalming? Where I did my meditation classes?
The first, yoga?
The
first time I got stabbed, right, it was... The toxic ex I was telling you about, the fucking absolute nutter. And I mean, she was nutter. You see her walking out of Tesco's with a Tesco's bag, and she'd swear blind she went to Sainsbury's. Mm. You know, one of them pathological liars, believe their own, like, proper nutcase. Anyway, she's rang me up. I was watching, I can always remember, Anthony Joshua was fighting Carlos Takam. So it would have been about 4 or 5 years ago. And she rang me up, Darren, he's coming round, he's causing trouble, he's coming round. Some geezer whose girlfriend was at the party, some jealous ex or something. So me, like the knight in shining armour, I've ran round there, give him a couple of digs. I'm not a liberty taker. If someone's on the floor, walk away. Anyway, he's on the floor, he's like, oh, help me up. So I've sort of not helped him up, but stood back, and he just plunged me once in the guts. Like, so I've carried on bashing him up. He's done me a couple of times in the arm, and I think two in the back. Ooh. Then he's run off up the road. And at the time, it was the first time I'd been cut, so I was just like, oh, shit.
Did you think you were going to die?
No, it was more panic, because it never happened. It never happened to me before. It doesn't happen to most people, does it? But the old Bill were there in 2 minutes. You know, I told him I fell over. But the ambulance took 45 minutes to an hour to get there, you know. Shit. And, you know, it's Guildford, and they took me to Guildford, round the corner to the Royal Surrey.
Was it your favourite cop who called the ambulance?
No, it wasn't that for it.
Take at least an hour.
Yeah. It surprised me, yeah. Someone's been stabbed. Okay, we'll be there right a minute. And it's Darren Hendry. Oh, take your time, you know. Silly bastard. So they took me to the hospital. They patched me all up, but they were worried because one was right near my lung. But luckily, it didn't go in there. But I just remember saying to the nurses, right, come on, I've got to go. And they said, sir, you've been stabbed and you've got to stay in here for a couple of days. I said, nah, Auntie Joshua's fighting Carlos Takam. I've got to get home and watch it. So I went home, yeah. And the second time, he's an absolute little rat. I don't even want to give him time. He's a keyboard warrior. Do you know what I mean? One of these, so deluded, he actually thinks that he just can't meet me like a man, one-on-one, have a straightener. I've kicked his door. He was giving it the big one over the phone when he was pissed up. I said, look, I'm not going to deal with some... I'm not the sort of person who's going to argue with you on the phone. You got a problem with me, I'll come around your fucking house, you know? I'm not going to sit there and call your name on Facebook like everyone does. I'll just come around your house. Anyway, I've booted his door down the next day, allegedly booted his door down allegedly the next day. One of his family, he's a dosser, so he sleeps on his uncle's sofa. He's a proper dosser. Anyway, his uncle's come out, and, you know, I shouldn't have done it, but his uncle come out to me aggressive, so I slapped his uncle out. And when my back was turned, he stuck a knife right in the base of my neck. Was it?
Yeah, oh, look at those massive scars.
That one could have paralysed me. And then he's cut me down here, like from there, I think one in the shoulder. And that one was quite bad, so I lost a lot of blood.
Wow.
And I was trying to have a rail back, but then he sort of ran indoors. So I've gone to my car and I was going to drive off, but then I was just losing so much blood. I was lucky there was a man walking his dog. And
we started to get dizzy and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sort of, probably. Yeah, that was very scary. And I thought, if I die over a little nobody, like, you know, fair enough if I was in a war situation or something, but if I die here and now over a little backhander job, do you know what I mean? It'd be dying for nothing. Again, police were there 2 seconds, ambulance and a helicopter took about an hour. You know, luckily I did.
Same driver.
Yeah. But that's...
How long does it take to, like, heal from something like that?
That took a while. That took a big while.
Did you have to, like, stay in bed and stuff and rest?
No. I was supposed to be fighting for the bare knuckle company. I was supposed to be fighting. So that was the beginning of March. I was supposed to be fighting at the beginning of April.
Yeah.
The promoter said, look, you can't fight. You've got stitches all in your head. You've just been stabbed. I was like, no, I still fight. But the show got cancelled because of COVID anyway.
Oh.
Yeah. But I remember, because I'm a bit of a tart when I go out, my ear was sort of, because I got stabbed through the ear as well.
Yeah.
So my ear was like that for ages. Yeah. And it was for a good 2-3 weeks. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, of course, my ear stays like that, I'm going to, you know. But hopefully it went back to normal, didn't it?
Let me treat on. Yeah.
So I've been looking for an exciting alternative investment for 2022. And a new fintech startup caught my attention, Masterworks.io.
Masterworks gives everyone, not just the high rollers, a chance to invest in a piece of famous Picasso, Monet and Banksy paintings.
Why art? Art has outpaced the S&P 500 from 1995 to 2021, making it better than the stock market. And it has almost no correlation with stocks. So whatever the stock market does is irrelevant.
Is it legit? Yes.
Masterworks is the first company to offer paintings filed with the SEC as public offerings. On top of that, for 2020 and 2021, they returned 32% each year.
So is anyone doing it?
Yes, they are. Over 300,000 investors have signed up.
So, in fact, one of their latest offerings by the famous street artist Banksy sold in under 3 hours.
Isn't he from your neck of the woods, Banksy?
Apparently so.
If you want to take advantage and invest in some fine art, there is a wait list. But you can get priority access and immediately start investing by using my link in the description. And it also really supports this channel. So please go check it out. So did all them happen before the remand then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So going back to your remand then, like, how, did you say you were in there for 2 years?
No, fucking 6 months.
Six months. Yeah. Yeah. And did you just, like, have a routine down?
You had to, what could you do? You was banged up all the time, 23 and a half a day.
Shit, you know, shower, you know, shave.
Yeah.
Yeah,
if you could get a shower, sometimes you weren't allowed out for a shower.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know, you see all these programs on, like, prison films and stuff, and they're out socialising and doing this and getting up to mischief. I didn't have the time to do any of that. No way. Allegedly, I was selling a bit of spice in there, so I always had a few quid coming in, do you know what I mean? And I don't condone that sort of behaviour, but you do whatever you can do to turn a few quid, don't you, in there?
Yeah. How easy is it to allegedly get phones?
High down was quite difficult. Wandsworth, easy. Wandsworth was easy.
Yeah.
Wandsworth, where I was on the Trinity wing. It's the biggest thing for, what they called the immigrants, yeah, before they get sent back things. So there was loads of Polish geezers, Lithuanians, and Russians. That's why I realised I get on with everyone. Do you know what I mean? Anything you want, they could get,
Yeah.
So what was the condition of your cell like?
Shithole. Just an old Victorian prison, Yeah. One star rating on TripAdvisor. That would be, 100%. Food shit. Room service was shit,
Did you have a TV?
Yeah, I had a TV, yeah. And I had a few books,
Yeah.
But I was on my previous podcast, I was saying with Christian, I said, because I like to wear my own clothes, even just tracksuits or something. I like to wear my own stuff, not the fucking prison issue shit. But they were fucking about with my stuff. They kept fucking about with all my clothes. So one day I walked down to lunch, start bollock naked, apart from a pair of flippers. I did, yeah. I just start bollock naked, like, where's my dinner? Like, and I said, Hendry, all the screws come around me. Hendry, put your fucking clothes on. I said, well, where's my clothes? Next day, my clothes were bought to myself. It's a shame that it took that drastic action for them to come, do you know what I mean?
It's hard to get them to do anything, isn't it?
You know, people say, well, you're more stupid because you found yourself in prison. But screws, it must be on the job application. Are you thick as pig shit and you're going to have a job? They are so thick, aren't they?
Because they used to be like military, didn't they? Ex-military.
Yeah.
But now it's all commercialised, isn't it?
Yeah. I did see a couple of screws that were liberty takers get pissing shit chucked over and stuff like that.
Really?
I was stood there just minding my own business, as I sometimes always do in my own little bubble. And I've seen some geezer with a towel wrapped around his head, like a makeshift hoodie, and a screw stood there. And then I said, what the fuck's he doing? Then it just twigged on me. I just, instinct ripped in. So I just jumped over the barrier onto the netting and he just dashed this female screw with loads of shit. Oh, mate, I'd rather get cut up than that have them to me.
Was it a random or had she been giving him a hard time?
I think she'd been giving him a bit of a liberty taker. But then you've got to think screws are doing their job. There is doing your job, but some of them are proper wankers as well. There's one, there's a couple that are all right. I know it's always us and them, but there is some that you can tolerate.
Some gold urges to take things out on people.
People that got bullied at school and stuff like that, didn't they? There are no marks outside. There are nobody's outside. So in there, there are somebody, isn't they?
But usually it comes back on them, doesn't it?
Yeah.
in the long run, yeah, the karma. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't meet a corrupt guard?
No, can't say. No comment. No comment.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
So you must, when you read that, then you must have been fascinated by the gang structure. It's all racial in America.
Yeah, I mean, was it the Aryan Brotherhood and the Mexicans and stuff? Yeah.
What's the structure in the prisons you were at?
No, that's not really. Everyone gets everyone. You're just a fucking number in there, aren't you? Everyone, you got your blacks, your whites. The thing is, coming from a boxing background, what I noticed very young, from a very young age, I'm not prejudiced, you know, and I'm not, you know, in a boxing club, you get. You get black lads, white lads, Asian lads, traveller lads, you know, you even get the odd old Bill in there, you know, and that's it breaks down social boundaries and stuff like that, and people don't give enough credit for that. Yeah. In football, you get people doing monkey chants and things like that, and races. You never get that in a boxing match. Well, not in this day and age, anyway.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. We've had a few guests come on from the Muslim community, like Asian hits, and... other guests as well have said that there's like the biggest gang now growing is the Muslim gang in the prison system.
I mean, everyone seems it seems like the fashion to be a Muslim now. You know, and that's not, you know, I'm a Christian and that's what I believe in. Each of their own, you know.
Yeah,
of course.
As long as you don't come and force it on me, we'll be fine. You know.
Did you get visits?
Not the first time I went, I did, but this time I didn't. My mum come in, bless her, with a very good friend of mine, a female friend of mine, and. Because I was banged up all the time. I had a DVD player. I told her to bring me in a USB stick, you know, just with odd films, episodes of The Sopranos, some documentaries, shit like that, a USB stick to plug in my DVD. My friend is, you know, she's a straight goer anyway. I'm sat there at the table. She's coming, big smile on her face, going, pulled it out of her titty like that, put it straight on the fucking desk, right in front of all the phones. They've come over there. They said, in Haidan, they called me by my first name. They were like, oh, Dale, come on. Dale, what have you got? And they thought I was, you know, at a bar of puff or something, or whatever, you know. I thought, look, I don't want to get wrapped up in front of me mum. That'll break her heart. So I've gone like that, and they go, come on, hand over the drugs. I said, no, it's a fucking USB stick. Anyway, I've gone to see the governor the next day, and he said, Henry, he said, we've checked it out. It was just gay porn on there. You go, all right, winding me up. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Were the guards a bit apprehensive about you because of your size and the scars and everything?
There was one fucking proper prick. He was a proper prick, and I was so close to chinning him. And he said, when I got a nick in, he said, Henry uses his size and boxing ability to intimidate us. What the fuck? I don't even know what that means. Do you know what I mean? Maybe because I'm loud and boisterous. I'm not a bully at all. I never fucking... Even the fucking little wanker screws, I'm not a bully. Do you know what I mean? I won't give them the time of day, but... You know, just to say that, I thought you were in the wrong job, mate. You're in the fucking... If you're getting bullied... If my presence is intimidating you, you're in the fucking wrong job.
Yeah.
You know?
Usually you find people who always want to make a name off someone who's big.
Yeah, and, 100%.
But because of the lockdown and because you were only there for 6 months, I imagine that didn't happen to you.
Yeah, no.
Was you in lockdown the entire time you were there?
The whole time.
Yeah, it's like all over the world right now.
It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and when I had this court case coming up not so long ago, half of the manor I come from, half of them are in there at the minute for, you know, I don't know if you heard, but a lot of things have been going on at the minute. You know, and... it wouldn't have been so bad. Well, no one wants to go there, but half of me pals would have been in there right now, you know. But I'd like to say, touch wood, I'll never fucking go back, you know, because it's no good. People, you know, you get lads nowadays, they come out and they seem to think it's a badge of honour. Like, it's cool to be, you know, to go, but it's fucking disgusting. It's full of wasters. It's shit, you know. But when I've been there, it's for stupid fucking reasons. It's for silly reasons that I don't personally feel justifiable for me to be in there, you know. Like I say, if I'd have given someone a clump or, you know, been caught with a bit of work or something, then I'd, you know, it's a game you play. I'd hands up and be like, yeah, fair enough, you've done me. Because I shouldn't have been in there. I know everyone says, oh, I didn't do nothing, but I shouldn't have been in there. So, but...
I've got to ask, you read in Hard Time, obviously, what he was eating in the jail.
Yeah.
What was the food like in there?
Haidan wasn't too bad. It's not compared to your outside, but it's just very stodgy, high carb potatoes, pastas, things like that. But you had chicken every day in Haidan. You know, the hospital get the left leg, we get the right leg, you know. And
it's like a war in the house. Yeah,
how do you do?
Yeah, it's all right. Come on through, please.
Come and have a seat next to me.
Tugger's a musician.
Do you mind, mate? Do you mind? We're trying to do a fucking interview here.
Very good.
God bless you, mate. God bless.
Tugger's done a lot of big gigs in Jamaica and stuff.
Yeah.
Dance hall style music.
Well, I'm Jamaican. What I was going to say, but yeah. The food in Hyde
Down. We're at the point where he's in Hyde Down and Wandsworth prison.
We're talking about the grub.
You stink of ganja. That's my fragrance. Fucking, what did he say? No, I didn't mean that. It didn't really smell lovely of perfume. That's what I meant. Yeah, the food weren't too bad in Hyde Down. Wandsworth was fucking rotten. But,
was it? What did they serve
you? You're trying to play footsie with me, isn't
it? Can't help myself.
She loves a game of footsie.
Can't help myself.
Just wait till the group hug at the end.
How long you done in Wandsworth?
Just 6 months on my mind. Okay. To be honest, I don't really... I know it's a true crime thing. I'd rather just stay off the prison something than fucking wankers. It's part of my life that I'd rather just put behind me. I shouldn't have been there. I'd rather just put it behind me.
I feel the same. I know what you mean.
Yeah,
you
talk it's just shit, isn't it? Part of my life is done. I can't deny that. But it's just part of my life I'd want to put behind me, you know?
Yeah, it's like I was in prison in Jamaica. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck that. Yeah. Fuck that.
Yeah, yeah. So I know exactly how you feel because we I talk about it a lot and... I've had to condition my mind to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, because it took so like, and it's a long time. I mean, it's 2002. I was locked up.
Yeah, not that long ago, really.
No, it ain't. No. It's not that long.
But
the
thing is, people moan about like the prisons over here. But same with what Sean's been through, and I can imagine you've got cold-blooded yard men over there that'll kill you just to look at you. Do you know what I mean? You don't get that fucking hide out. You don't get that fucking HMP Butlins, do you? You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's easy, but compared to what you lads have been through, you know.
But once your freedom step, your freedom is your freedom, isn't it? Exactly. Once you're bloody, exactly. Like, it don't matter where you're locked up. You could be locked up in a fucking 5-star hotel if you're locked up.
Just the benefit people take, it's the little things. When you are in there, it's the little things you take for granted. Being able to go to the fridge and get a chocolate bar out of the fridge.
That's right.
If you haven't got your canteen, you can't fucking wait there. I like the fresh, I'm quite boring. I like to go running and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Part of the boxing. Being able to just wake up in the morning
and go for a jog.
Yeah. Being able to chill at a girl's house, anything. Do you know what I mean?
Small things.
It's the small things.
It's the small things in life. You
have all these ideas about when you're going to get out and you're going to do this, you're going to do that. It's the small things I wanted to do. Yeah. I kept saying to my mum, I'd look out at the night sky, and it sounds really soppy. I just wanted to go down to Portsmouth or something and walk along the seafront. Walk along the seafront, listen to the sound. You appreciate the sounds, the smell of grass, all silly things like that, you know? Yeah.
And if you can appreciate the small things, you don't go looking for trouble in the wrong places.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah. What about your sleep then? I value sleep now because of the noises in the night and all that shit. Yeah.
See, I was really bad. I'm not condoning this, but I fucking was doing sleepers in there. I'm not.
What do you mean sleepers?
Like tazepines and fucking tramadol, anything I could.
Not herbal.
Not all the time. No, never. I don't condone drugs. I've never been into the old Persian rugs. They've never really. I've smoked a bit of ganja as a kid or whatever. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but I've never really been into drugs. But I used to love sleeping tablets. I couldn't for ages.
They're addictive, aren't they?
Very. That's what I was about to say. They're very,
yeah, very addictive.
I'm not being funny. I've taken them on the planes to go like long haul.
No, they're addictive.
No, like Xanax and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, even
the thing is, if you used to do it for a week, say you've done it for 6 days, on the seventh day, you wouldn't be able to sleep without them. So it's a vicious circle, you know.
Vicious. To stop then, you've got to stay awake for 2 days and go through the pain.
Exactly.
Even
you're
like,
I got to take it.
They don't prescribe it. No, they don't. Unless you're a bit of a nut.
That's right. It's really hard to get sleeping tablets from doctors now.
See, but the thing is, because I've got PTSD.
Right.
Right. I can get prescribed them now, but I don't do them anymore anyway.
But they still tell you not to have them. They try and talk you out of them, don't they?
I had a friend in Arizona who was addicted to Xanax. He was on it for months. And when he stopped, he was hallucinating. He ended up on his neighbour's roof. The cops came out and everything.
Fuck that.
Yeah. Wow. Big Xanax
bars. They take a lot of them drugs in America, don't they? They seem to like Xanax.
America is the most drug-consuming country in the world.
It seems to be.
Yeah, that's...
Well, it's like crystal meth. You don't really hear... I might be wrong. I'm quite naive to it. But do you hear about crystal meth over here?
Rarely. Very rarely.
Like, in America, coke, you had to keep re-upping. So they just... sacked off the coke for meth because you do one line, you're up for days.
I know. I said so it took over. About the caffeine, and you said, "Oh, you should try crystal meth." You actually advised me.
That was a joke.
Yes, it's very Moorish.
Allegedly.
Very Moorish, isn't it? Yeah.
They were calling Phoenix the Valley of the Spawn, and even the guy who was doing the weather report in the helicopter, he got busted with crystal meth high in the sky. They said he was.
So that turns people into fucking.
It does. It really.
In the beginning, you feel superhuman. But then you burn out and all.
Did you try something?
I was a stockbroker, right? And my production went through the roof. I made loads of money because I was all amped up and asking for bigger orders on the phone. I was more aggressive.
Yeah.
But later on, the dark side kicks in. I mean, on the news out there, there was a mailman. And you see these before and after pictures of people with meth. He looked all healthy in one and he was all sunken on the other. And he'd only been on it for about 9 months. And why he was headline news, he was driving along the freeway and he'd been up for like a week. He had crystal meth psychosis. Two sons on the back seat.
Fuck that.
One son he saw as a demon that was going to kill the other son.
Yes, I think.
Reached under his seat, got a Rambo knife, pulls over, cuts his son's head off.
No. Cuts his own son's head off
with crystal meth psychosis.
Fuck that, mate.
Yeah. Because you're hallucinating, you're hearing voices, you don't know what. I mean, Wildman, he was a bugger for it because he'd stay up for weeks and just start like, he'd be staring at us in the mirror. I know you're going to take us out to the desert and all this stuff. And he's like, it looks like he's about to attack us. We're like, fucking hell, Peter.
Yeah, strong.
The Mexicans are coming for me and all this shit. Yeah. His eyes just completely blood red on it. After stay, no
What's
sleep.
The enjoyment out of it?
That's for the others, that is it. He said
he said he loved sketching out.
Yeah.
I'm being paranoid.
But that's what. So if I was to smoke weed now, if I was to have one puff, it opens doors that shouldn't be open for me. It sends me nutty. Some people can
it's
smoke.
It's not for everyone, is it?
It's not for everyone. Some people can smoke all their life, don't have no effect. But me, I must have a weak brain or something because it sends me fucking doolally.
Everyone's different with it. I had this conversation the other day about it as well with my friend. It's a funny thing, weed.
Yeah.
I think all drugs, I think everybody, every human...
Has their own tolerance.
Yeah.
It's like alcohol, right?
Exactly.
It's the biggest drug.
I think alcohol's the worst.
But the thing is, not very often, but if I go out on a session, but if I've got a fight coming up or something, I'll go for a few beers or after.
Yeah.
People think that I'm going to be, and probably because when I was younger, I was very violent and quick-tempered. But if I was to go on a session, people... I've become like a fucking lovey-dovey.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these. Yeah. I think you get to a certain point where when you know what you can do...
And you're a fighter as well.
Yeah, do you know
you
what
think
I mean?
You don't feel like
you're
not an angry drunk.
Nah, not at all. When you know what you can do, when you know...
That's right.
I'm not giving
it
a big and I'm making out of
it's
something.
It's true, though. I agree with you.
When you know what you can do, you don't have to go around giving it. When I was younger, full of spunk and testosterone, I wanted to go and fucking... Now, someone pushes into me in a pub, I apologise to them. You know what I mean?
Someone... Do everything to defuse it because you don't want to go there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone could hit a bottle over my head, I'd help them clean up the bottle glass. Sorry about that, sir. Bleeding on you.
Excuse me, lads, I'm just going to have a quick break.
No.
You having a fag?
No, I'm going to the toilet.
Oh, okay.
Do you want me to come with you?
Yeah, we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
Darren got stabbed in one of the altercations, and that was quite heavy.
Yeah.
And but he had a fight the next month, and they were telling him you can't fight, but he was like, fuck that, I'm gonna fight anyway. Well, that was the most.
What after? So you weren't in a fight after?
No, the show did get cancelled because of COVID anyway.
Oh shit! It's recently.
Yeah, well, about a year, 2 years ago, yeah. When COVID started, the first one, like in the March of April of 2 years ago.
Right.
Check out the back of his head, the scars.
It's like a fucking patchwork quilt, isn't it? I think I've been hit with every kitchen utensil going.
Have you?
Yeah, fucking, I think that... I was at a rave years ago, years and years ago, about 19, 20 years of age. And I was at a rave and... I started smashing some lads started hitting me around the head with wheel braces.
A rave?
Yeah, a rave where everyone's normally loved up. I had a meat cleaver put in my head. Fucking,
So what rave's that?
Yeah, fucking. It's probably
gladiators.
But as I was saying, it's probably my fault for being gobby earlier on or hitting someone earlier on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I got stitched up at the hospital. I said, whatever you do, don't fly for 6 months because of the pressure. Right. 2 days later, I was on the plane to Malia trying to get into, they was doing like cage fighting out there. I was like, let me fight. But I had all stitches in my head, so they wouldn't let me.
Oh, shit.
Right. Wow.
Yeah, I was on the plane to Greece a couple of days later, yeah.
That must have caused a lot of blood.
Yeah.
Sorry, he was just in the raves. It was bad.
Yeah, sometimes they can turn naughty.
Of course they can. I've seen it, mate.
So when you drop an ecstasy, then, do you get your boogie on?
I've never really been into drugs. I was there probably to tax people or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's it's probably my fault, you know.
Because the rave music doesn't really make sense unless you're on ecstasy.
That's right.
I hate it. I hate all that shit. I hated it even more after that event anyway. Do you know what I mean?
What sort of rave was it? Like drum and bass?
Yeah, shit like that, yeah. I could not stand them. Loads of my pals used to like going to them. I was like, fuck that, I can't stand them.
I grew up going to raves. I'm a musician. I grew up doing the drum and bass stuff.
Yeah.
And I went off of it. I kind of like, because of the drugs,
I
didn't want to go around it no more. Yeah, like the whole, because the scene to me, because I had a bad episode when I was young. So I just stay away from that whole scene because, like we said, the music's designed for drugs.
Yeah.
And you don't know because you're put in that position where everyone else is around it or doing that. You
yeah.
Just, it's not for
and
me.
And they're raving every week, but they're sort of in a thing where they're just, it's just an excuse to take drugs.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not raving. That everyone gets up and says, "Well, let's go raving."
Yeah.
You're not going raving. You're going to take drugs.
I'm not judgmental, but it's not for me. Do you know what I mean? Each their own. If people want to do that, but it's not for me.
You got hit with a machete at a rave.
A meat cleaver. Yeah, and wheel braces.
That's not very lovey-dovey at a rave.
That's what we're just saying, yeah.
Yeah. So earlier on, you talked about like, how you got into fighting through your family and everything, and then, you know, moved into it more seriously. But how did it become, like, big for you in your life?
Well, I'd always been into going to the boxing club and the kickboxing, a little bit of everything, you know. And then, so I had a few bouts as a kid. Then a couple of kickboxing bouts, a couple of cage fighting, MMA bouts. Then I took it seriously. I moved to Spain for a little while, moved to the Canary Islands. Had a couple of little bouts out there, then came back to England, was in the Worthing, Brighton area, had a few more boxing bouts down there. Then I got back into the ABA amateur boxing, and I'd done all right. I was unbeaten as a senior. And then when I come out of prison the first time, the bare knuckle scene came about, you know, like but not like the bare knuckles you see, like Two Men in a Warehouse or Travellers doing it. Bare knuckle in the ring, it's like a big promotion now.
Which is the governor one?
Oh, fuck knows.
Which is the what, sir?
The governor.
I don't know. That was good years ago. That's a bit Mickey Mouse now.
Okay.
But and then I got into the bare knuckle, and that was about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, and that's how it's stayed. Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Like the Hampshire, Surrey sort of area, from the southeast. Yeah.
Near here.
Quite near. Not far from here, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Not far.
He's had a few wild nights out in Aldershot.
Yeah,
the squaddies.
Yeah.
Had a night out in Aldershot, Togger.
Aldershot? I haven't. No.
Do you know when I first moved to Aldershot, I was about 17, 18 years old, it was a very decent, it was a decent town. It was home of the British Army. You had all the football lads, all the soldiers, and it was a very proud, patriotic town. Now it's fucked. The army have moved out. It's just, you know,
have they moved out?
Yeah, they've all gone. There might be a couple of barracks there, a couple of regiments there, but and it's just all the shit's moved in, and it's fucking. You walk past it, and it's like being in another country. It's like being in another world. All the shops are boarded up and stuff like
really?
That. There's no character. You used to be able to go out in that town. You didn't have to ring no one up. You just go out and you bump into people you know. Now it's fucked.
I find the same, that I'm born in Hackney, and it's the same in Hackney. I think a lot of places the characters
just gone.
The actual characters have gone out of the areas now.
Yeah.
It's because of the internet.
Yeah.
There's
no more.
You've got in the pub and you know every area.
Yeah.
No matter what area it is, like even in like Hackney, for instance, we say like there's no characters no more.
No.
There's no character. I think all the areas, there's no fucking characters, is there? Because they're all on the internet. Everyone's on their phone. Yeah. You know, before you'd go on road, you see this character case, characters that built the character of the area.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And that is just, that's dying. In every
social media has killed a lot of
things.
That's
right. That's what my point is.
Has killed a lot of things. You know, I could go and meet up with my pals now, go for a bit of food or something. 9 times out of 10, I'm guilty of it as well. We sat there on my phone, playing or doing something.
You see people on dates.
Yeah.
They're not even talking.
Yeah. Fuck that.
They just sat there.
Yeah. And it's scary for the new generation because they're bringing out more. You ain't got to go shop to do. You get gorillas to bring you the groceries.
Yeah.
Gorillas to bring you groceries.
It's true.
It's taking out the personable side of things.
So where are we going to meet the character down the shop when we go and buy it?
Yeah.
You know, we'd go down the shop, you meet the character. You want drinks, you get delivered to your shop. Everything's so, and like, you're just stuck in here. There's no,
Well, I was around my bird's house the other day, right? And she was talking to someone. She was talking to her mum who was upstairs.
Yeah.
But she was doing it over text. Fuck. And I was like, please don't ever, when I'm around this house, please don't let me see you do that again. I said, I will get off my ass. I will walk up the stairs and portray messages between you two all day, just so I don't have to witness what I've just witnessed. Yeah, no way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But like I said, I'm a caveman with technology. I hate it. So to me, it's all alien, really. I really don't like it.
So how are you with social media? Use it a lot.
I've got Instagram.
Right. Instagram's popping. Yeah,
I've got Facebook and I've got Instagram.
Yeah.
Is it just under your name, your Insta?
It's Demon_FitnessUK_DarrenHendry. So Demon_FitnessUK Darren Hendry.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It's, but that's more because I also do, I train fighters, train like the boxing, personal training stuff, like as a side project. I also do that. So that's more for that. And, of you know, my security stuff as well. If people want any of that, then get
on. So you train fighters?
Yeah, as well, yeah.
That's excellent.
Yeah. But this is another thing we're saying about Surrey Police. They're such wankers. So I was on about getting a gym not so long ago. We're going to take over a gym. Surrey Police have gone down. Well, Hampshire Police and Council went down and said, no, you can't have it. A very good friend of mine who I've known for 10, 15 years. Again, I won't name him because I don't want to, you know, disrespect him or embarrass him or anything. But a very good friend of mine. He's just opened up a gym where I'm staying, yeah? And I asked him if he'd help prepare me for my next fight. He was like, yeah, no worries, mate, no worries, be a pleasure. The council in the old bill went down and said, if you have Darren Hendry training at your gym, we'll shut you down.
What?
How fucking horrible is that? And I, like,
why?
Because I'm an unsavoury character, you know? But this.
What do you mean by unsavoury character?
Oh, I don't fucking know, do you not? Because my knob's bigger than theirs. I don't know. But they're just wankers. Do you know? Mm. And but this could have jeopardised my friendship with this. It hasn't, luckily. I was pissed off at first, I was. But I understand he's got a business to run, you know, and I want him to succeed. And I do. I want him to succeed. But I just thought how cowardly and how, you know.
And that's going to jeopardise your business with the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And your friendship.
Yeah, no, but yeah. I don't want to jeopardise his business. So I was just like, yeah, fair enough, mate, you know. But I just thought, what a cowardly tactic to use.
Very,
you know.
Yeah.
Very. It's disgusting. Some of them,
they got in for you by the sounds.
Fucking too right, mate. Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not one of these that's going to sit here and go, oh, little old me, I've done nothing wrong. I'm not saying that. I am a little shit. I am a little bastard.
Well, none of us are perfect.
Exactly. But the last cases I've been involved in has been clear setup. Absolute wankers. One little sad, silly little man who's such a coward. Like most old people, they're cowards, isn't they? Do you know what I mean? They can't deal with it properly. You know, years ago, the old Bill would give you a slap on the wrist or something, or would rough you up. I remember my granddad telling me, a copper called him, he had ginger, bright red hair. The copper said, all right, ginger. And my granddad said, all right, baldy. And the copper slapped him up. I'd rather take me down the stairs and give me a clip, especially for misdemeanor, minor things. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's fucking pathetic.
Well, that's the whole, I think they're so touchy now.
Yeah.
I think the police are extra touchy now. Mm. Extra touchy, I think. Like,
oh, they're just wankers,
yeah,
aren't they?
Exactly.
Just gotta balance this out. Hold on a second, just trying to balance this out. Because so, your last interview got tucked down by the police. I just want to say something to the viewers and to Sony Police. There's good and bad in every profession.
Yeah, definitely.
I was in a restaurant a few years ago before the pandemic, and some undercover Sony Police came up to me, and they said that they watched the podcast.
Oh,
they they agreed with us about the war on drugs, the bullshit arrests they're made to do, and they're in a system, and their orders come down from the top. So I just want to make clear, we're not anti-police. We believe there are corrupt police, like what Darren's talking about, but there's good and bad people in every profession.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And the cops, a lot of them well-meaning, and they're trapped with these shit orders that come down from the top telling them to revenue generate and do all this stuff. When they join to go after the paedophiles and the rapists and the killers, but they're trapped and they're given these orders, go after the lowest.
They're doing what they're told.
Yeah.
Some of the tactics they use, like what I was discussing with Sean earlier, they were going up to ex girlfriends of mine and saying, "Make a statement against Darren. We know you've got kids. We can take them away from you." You know, that's bullying. That's bullying. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
That's corruption as well. Yeah,
of course,
it is. The thing is,
if you join the police to combat crime, surely that's crime in itself. You know, that's,
it is.
But they don't look at it because they've got a badge and a number.
They're creating crime.
Of course they are. But luckily, these ex girlfriends of mine, you know, because I'm good friends with them, would tell me, you know.
Yeah.
Absolute slags.
Yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah, I'm sure the viewers are going to go wild in the comments on this one. Let us know, especially about that crime creation thing? What do you think the purpose of the police is?
Sorry, when you got a vendetta against when the police have got a vendetta or something, that doesn't help crime, does it?
Of course it doesn't. But the thing is, I'm not ashamed to admit, when I was in Nick, I was very bitter. I was fucking bitter because I could do birds to them, yeah, do you know what I mean? It's, you know, saying that, I've only been for, you know, short, sharp sentences, you know, or terms. But I was very bitter when I was there. Like I said, if I'd have done something wrong, I could have got me nut down and stuff like that. But I was a nightmare. I was like a spoilt little brat in there, really, to the Scrooge. I was horrible because I couldn't justify myself being in there. But when I came out...
Well, you would feel like that.
When I came out, instead of being bitter, what I did, I just thought, look, if you try and fight the establishment, you're going to fucking lose.
That's right. Yes.
I fight the law. That's the law won. Do you know what I mean? But if I'd have had a one-man rampage war against the old Bill, I'd be doing a life sentence.
That's right.
So what I've tried to do it in another way. You know, I won a European title in April, bare knuckle, you know, and I've done it with a GPS tracker on my ankle.
Yeah,
you know,
the picture.
I donated my ticket money to a friend of mine's daughter who's bravely battling leukemia.
My little niece had that.
It's disgusting. Yeah. It's horrible.
Great Ormond Street saved a life.
They're the heroes, isn't they? Do you know what I mean? But people... The old Bill and that, they hated me doing that. You know, like when I talk to kids about knife crime and stuff like that and anti-violence and shit like that, the old Bill hate the fact that someone like me is given positivity. They'd rather hear about me saying about how, yeah, drugs are bad, drugs are good, kill people, do this and stuff.
Yeah.
But that's not me. The real person is this empathetic person that is a nice person that does want to help people.
So, a new year, a new you. So, if you have any health or fitness-related New Year's resolutions and don't know where to start, you need to try Magic Spoon. As a low-carb, high-protein and zero-gram sugar alternative. Also, I got a peanut butter one here.
Magic Spoon works for me because I was obsessed with Fruit Loops in America. But these guys are doing it without any sugar. I want a no sugar kick these days.
The viewers at home are going to absolutely love this cereal. It's delicious, it's keto-free, what was it? Gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, wheat-free, naturally flavoured, totally delicious. Childlike cereal for grown-ups.
So when you're trying to cut down on carbs, sugar and unhealthy food, you realise you can't eat anything anymore.
And it's only 140 calories per serving. Cheat day. I mean, this is absolutely delicious, but why is there no milk in this?
Eat cereal with milk? I've never, ever ate cereal with milk. I always like it dry.
Something seriously wrong with him.
You want it soggy? 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving.
And only 140 calories per serving.
They're also keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free and low-carb. Click the link below to get some Magic Spoon cereal today to help you achieve your healthy goals in 2022.
Grab a variety pack and get yours today.
And be sure to use the promo code SHAUN, Sean, to get $5 off on any order.
Or go to magicspoon.com/Sean, SHAUN.
A Magic Spoon is so confident of their product, it is backed with a 100% happiness guarantee.
So if you don't like it for whatever reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked.
100%. So click the link below and use the code SHAUN for $5 off.
So head to magicspoon.com/Sean to get your $5 off today.
Do you know what I mean? It does want to do good, but the old people don't want to see that. And it's probably, you might not want to hear that on here, but that's the truth, you know?
No, we do want to hear it on here. You've evolved over time. But they're going after this image they've created of you from your wild younger years.
And they're not
letting it go. They're not letting it go.
My nickname, right, in the fighting is Darren Dazzler Hendry, yeah? But they call the bare knuckle bad boy. Do you know who called me that? A prosecutor in a Crown Court trial. The bare knuckle bad boy. The prosecutor in a Crown Court trial.
Does she get royalties?
But it's ridiculous. So they've sort of made this image of me.
Yeah.
And... I could play up to that image, or I could go to the other. You know, a couple of years, I could be the bare knuckle angel. Do you know what I mean? You don't know. You know?
I think, like, how do you define a good person?
How do you? Do you know what I mean?
That's my point. How do you define a good person?
Exactly. Is it like
on one of your ring entrances? You should get someone to dress up as a female prosecutor and bring you out and scream at you,
I can be the real female prosecutor and they'll be chasing me.
Have you locked up before round one?
How do you define a good person?
Exactly. What I mean is that, like, he's getting judged because of his past.
Yeah.
Circumstances make people what they are.
Well, you think money and university degrees can't teach you morals and ethics, can they?
No.
I know some people that have, you know, got money in the bank, university degrees, and they're fucking tossers. I know people without a pot of pissing, and they're some of the most genuinely loveliest people you'll ever meet.
I know some junkies and crackheads and criminals the most lovely people you meet in the world.
I'll
be honest with you, most lovely, don't ever judge a person for what they've been through. Maybe they might have an addiction. They might have a... That doesn't define who they are.
Well, that's why we do these podcasts. You know podcasts, how you
everyone's got a sh- yeah, so what is exactly. a good person? So the police want to see, like you said, the police get upset because of your history and the good things you try to do now with yourself, because that's the person you are. You are that good person. Yeah. It's just the circumstances you've been around in your life has made you.
I love
you
him. He's my new best mate.
See why he's mine as well.
Someone told me there's three sides to every story. Your side, their side, and the truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is so true, isn't it?
But what do they want him to be?
Well, when he, like, are you like, get like seen as a reformed
they'd be happier
creature.
If he was
I'd
going
like
again.
To. I'd yeah. like to.
He's giving but money to charity.
I don't think the old B would let me. When I come out, I was in with a security company, you know, doing work. It just so happens...
This was after Wandsworth.
Yeah. It was recently. It just so happens the initials of the security was DJH, which is my initials. Yeah, it's purely coincidence. And the old Bill shut that down, even though I wasn't... How do I word this very carefully? I wasn't specifically organising the security. I was involved, you know, as a background seat, you know, sometimes giving advice. That's the old Bill shut that down straight away. I had the SIA straight on me.
What was the law they could shut that down?
Because I had an SIA licence when I used to work doors years ago, and it got taken off me due to various rows and stuff like that. And they can't have someone without a valid SIA licence being involved in security.
You need the licence. That's the
governing body, you know. But I still get offers for other kinds of security. I can't do security at licensed venues,
right?
If that makes sense.
Can you get back the licence?
Probably not for a while now.
What sort of offers do you get?
I got all sorts of offers. Some of it's really ridiculous, though. I had some geezer the other day. Oh, mate, I don't know who else to go to, but I've got a debt if you fancy getting it. And I was like, yeah, all right, yeah, go and talk to me. He goes, I got my push bike stolen. And I was like, fucking hell, mate. You know, this is a fully grown man. This is a fully grown man, you know.
Did you help him out?
I got a conviction for that one. Joyriding push bike.
Yeah, well, yeah. Do you know what? I just sent him a message back. I just said, are you being serious? And he went, yeah, but it was an expensive one. And I was like, fucking hell, mate. I'm used to dealing with multi-thousands of, you know, big amounts of dough, you know. Not fucking, you know, might have been an expensive one. I got it for Christmas, you know, but it's just...
No. Did you help him out?
No.
No? No. Any other interesting offers?
It's not really that I could discuss on camera, no.
No.
What about the doors, then? What war stories have you got from your doors days?
Not too many, really, because nowadays it's not like back in the day where, you know, you give someone a clump. Now, you've really got to be so careful how you tread with the security industry, you know. I first started doing the doors when I lived abroad in the Canary Islands for a little bit. Someone offered me, you know I'd done a bit of martial arts and boxing and stuff, you know, had a bit about me. So they said, do you want to do the doors? It was a tiny little disco bar, like a little nightclub thing.
In Spain?
It's in the Canary Islands,
Canary Islands.
And everything was all right. But then I was 20, 21, 22, something like that. I was young. I was, you know, full of testosterone, fucking. Some lad come up to me, he's an Irish fella, he goes, I'm the head doorman at the biggest nightclub in Dublin. You don't look like a bouncer. I said, I'm not trying to what? Fuck it. I said, I'm not trying to look like anything, mate. I've been asked to do a job, yeah. So I'm going to do it. Anyway, kept on all night. So I just, you know, I'm not proud of it, but I proper give it to him, really, you know, proper fucking hurt him. You know?
That's why that cellmate stole your food. It was that yeah. was his problem.
That was his problem, yeah, yeah. But, you know, I'm not proud of it because oh, I did shit. Proper stamp his fucking, you know, proper give it to him.
Yeah.
And then I came back to England because I was out in the Canary Islands for about two and a half years. I came back to the UK. And obviously, the 2.5 years was 2.5 years abroad, so I didn't get any UK conviction. So I went and done me swimming badge, me SIA swimming badge, you know, the license you need to get. And I was running a few doors in Brighton and Worthing. And not really too many war stories, not really. I'll give a few people a clump and stuff like that, but not really.
Did you get much female attention?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hated a lot of that. I hated every second of it. I really did. Yeah. I fucking hated it. No, I tell you what I did get. I got a lot of male attention, especially in Brighton.
Do you know
what I used to do, though? Because, like I say, I'm not a prejudiced person. So these come up to me and I'd just be like, these homosexual people would come up to me and but I'd be charming. I'd be like, do you know what, if I ever swing that way, you'll be the first one I'll call, you know what I mean? how's my favourite little you know, yeah. But they always had beautiful females with them. They always yeah. had beautiful females. So these gay people would go up to their girl best mate and say,
yeah, yeah.
"Oh, you should get with him. He's lovely." Yeah, do you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. Win-win situation. Yeah, I remember I'd done a security at the party for the gays in Brighton. Gay Pride.
Right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've never got so much female numbers in my life. Wow. Do you know what I mean? It was, it was good crap.
I think females feel a lot more comfortable around gay.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I've got a lot of gay best mates, yeah.
I could imagine.
Are you gay?
No. Okay, why are you asking?
You ain't got a wedding ring on either.
No, look at you checking.
Clock that when I come in. I'm only joking. I've got a beautiful girl at home.
Yeah.
She's going to fucking chop me nuts off when I get home there.
Have you been to Gay Pride then?
Yeah, one in Bristol.
In Bristol?
They've got them all over the country. Yeah. So yeah, but I can imagine Brighton and London.
What's the atmosphere like that like?
Oh, wild. Yeah. It's good fun, good vibes, loud.
Yeah. Before the rave scene, me and Wildman used to hang out in Piccadilly, Manchester. That's where they started the house music in the gay clubs.
Ah.
Yeah.
Been to GAY in London?
Which one?
In Soho?
GAY.
Oh, I love that.
What
does
that spell?
Do you know...
What does that actually stand for? Does anyone know?
Just gay, I guess. But...
It makes sense.
No, I pulled
it. Is it... Club Freedom or something out there, they got something like that.
Club Freedom.
Yeah.
With all due respect, how the fuck did we get on a conversation about No, before the fucking anti-gay.
I got no stories on that.
before the anti-gay mob bashed me up. I got no fucking problems, I'm just saying.
Did you have run-ins with Russians or something on one of the, did you say something on one of the podcasts or Russians come and spoke to you about on the doors somewhere or something?
I
mixed that up with a different.
Yeah, you got someone else. Yeah.
So I watched.
I was in with a little Polish mob. I don't know if that was, but not.
That might have been it.
Yeah, but
that might have been it. How did you click up with the Polish?
Because when I was living in down on the south coast, there's a lot of I seem to love the Polish and Eastern Europeans love the south coast, and I was in with this little Polish mob. They were fucking good as gold. The Polskies. I don't mind them at all. They come here, they work hard, whatever they're doing.
All good things about them.
What they want to do is go to the gym, fight each other, and get drunk. Do you know?
Can you speak any Polish?
Dzień dobry.
Kulwamash.
What are you calling me? That's bad, isn't it?
Isn't it? The only word I know is a fucking rude one.
Yeah.
But I don't
know what it is.
Why are you speaking well?
Kulwamash.
I don't know what that said, but it sounded good, didn't it? I just made that up.
Oh, brilliant.
So when you got released then from Wandsworth, did you think there was going to be no dramas? But there has been dramas.
There hasn't been dramas as such. I've been on tag for a year.
Yeah.
A GPS tag. And my mum lives in Aldershot and I'm staying about 15 miles away from Aldershot in Hampshire. Mm. But to get to Aldershot, geographically, Aldershot, even though it's Hampshire, is surrounded by Surrey. And I wasn't allowed to go into Surrey. Part of my condition, I weren't allowed to go into Surrey. So I'd have to go fucking about 45 minutes out of my way to come back on myself.
Oh, wow.
Just to go and pop and visit me mum for a cup of tea.
Yeah, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's a fucking joke.
That's awkward.
So you haven't got the tag on anymore?
I have got a tag on now, but this is a different tag.
Right.
This is a different tag. One was a GPS tag. This is just a bog standard, got to be home at 8 o'clock.
What's the difference? What do they give you? The
GPS knows where I am at all times. Right. This just lets them know when I get in at night.
Can you get in at night? But so you've got to be in a certain time?
8 o'clock. And I can't leave the house before 6.
In the morning.
Yeah. Which is shit, because I get up fucking early. I get up really early and I like to go for a run and stuff. Yeah. And I wait until 6 o'clock before I can leave the fucking house.
1 minute past, out the door.
Yeah. But the only good thing for my bird, she knows where I am at night every night. She can't never accuse me of being somewhere I'm somewhere not.
What other conditions have they put on you?
Not to contact certain people. Just a load of Mickey Mouse stuff, really. You know, yeah. Be a good boy from now on.
How long's it?
Well, no, not like I was a bad boy anyway. But
how long you got the tag for?
I think it's till June.
That one till June.
That's will this be out for the summer?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, right. Oh, fucking go on holiday, anything. Mm.
Do you have a favourite holiday destination?
Oh, do you know what? One of my friends is doing the bare knuckle promotion out in Thailand.
Yeah.
You know, big up Nick Chapman, BKFC.
I've watched some of his fights.
Yeah, he's a good pal.
Yeah, he's going in London.
Yeah, I was a good pal of mine, Nick. I've known him for a fair few years. And he's doing that in Thailand. I've always wanted to go to Thailand. And but obviously, COVID and this thing of my ankle, I can't go. I was supposed to go in January, you know, but this is what it is.
Where's Nick Chapman based these days?
Thailand.
Oh, Thailand's out there all the time. Yeah. Because he had a gym in Aldershot, didn't he?
That's right. Because he's a Guildford lad,
Yeah. Sam Rowe.
I don't know him.
He's a mate of mine.
Yeah.
So when you, like, I've done, like, some basic, like, kickboxing and stuff with the gloves and the pads. Like,
God, I don't want no trouble.
When you're getting smashed in the head with raw fists.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy that? Or just like,
do you know what? This is going to sound real flash. I don't think I've really been punched much yet.
Yeah.
I have, like, in the streets and stuff, but in the actual,
it's gonna be intense if you get hit like that.
Yeah, but I love it.
Just smashing them up. Is that the part you love?
Yeah. So you haven't lost very much then.
Doesn't it break your knuckles and stuff?
I haven't lost yet.
But you break your
not
fingers.
Yet.
You never lost. How many fights you had?
I've only had 5 bare knuckle fights.
5 bare knuckles.
But, well, legal ones. Legal ones. But I've had a fair few glove bats as well, you know.
I've
never lost as an adult boxer. You know, I lost a couple as a kid, but not as an adult.
You got any fights coming up?
I was supposed to be fighting for the world title for the BFBA. Am I allowed to shout people out on here?
Yeah, shout them out.
Shout out Andy Bakewell from Barefist Boxing Association. The other promotion I was with, no disrespect to them, but they wouldn't let me fight whilst I was on a tag. Mm. These guys, Ian Morris, Mozzie Morris, and Andrew Bakewell from BFBA and Bloodsport affiliated, they gave me the opportunity to fight when the other promotions wouldn't.
On your tag?
Yeah. So my last fight, I fought for the European title wearing the GPS tracker. I won that, so I was supposed to be fighting for the world title February the 26th.
Is that the one you give for charity?
Yes.
But does that not give you a slight advantage, having a tag on your thing for kickboxing as well?
Yeah, but I'm not kickboxing.
No, it's not kickboxing. Exactly. So it shouldn't get in the way.
Exactly. But the thing is, they wouldn't let me fight. They're not going to let me fight on February the 26th now.
Why?
Because I spoke to my solicitor and he said, no, because now when you fought last time on the tag, you weren't convicted. You weren't a sentenced person. Now, because you pled guilty to that Mickey Mouse charge, you're technically a convicted person. So you wouldn't be able to fight if you was in prison, which is fair enough, you know. So I've just got to bide me time.
Well, why? I don't understand, but you're not in prison.
Because this is my sentence.
You're convicted. Okay, because that's your sentence, obviously. So you say, I understand what you mean. Yeah.
But I'm one of them people, I need something to train for. I need a purpose. Otherwise, I just sit in the pub and eat kebabs all fucking day. Do you know what I mean?
So you make it sound easy. What's been your toughest fight so far?
Toughest fight, it's probably with myself, my own head. You know what I mean? It is.
I mean, that's our toughest fight in general, I think, is
Yeah, always, always.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I've been all right. I mean, a couple of the amateur bouts, I mean, people forget, you know, that when I've had these bare knuckle fights, I've won pretty easily, quite convincingly, and that's no fault of my own. 9 times out of 10, like, I've had a fight scheduled and the geezer's pulled out, like, the day before. You know, that's not my fault. That's not my problem that someone's arsehole's got or they've got an injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then they've pulled in a last-minute replacement who's coming in last minute, and I've beat him quite convincingly.
Mm.
But people forget, I also had a very good amateur boxing record. I never lost as an amateur, as a senior. You know, and I fought some lads that have gone on to big... done very well, do you know what I mean? They've won titles as amateurs and stuff like that. So, and with the amateur boxing, you can't pick and choose your opponent. You go to a venue and you fight who's there on the day.
That's,
you know,
right. Yeah.
People have got short memories. They seem to forget that. They say I've had easy fights, but I haven't.
Are the people on your radar that you think would really give you a run for your money?
There's loads of people. You know, I'm not one of these that's going to sit here and think he's Superman. There's so many good, and as Bare Knuckle evolves, it, I know it's a thousands of years
it's
old.
Growing, but, as well, is it?
Yeah, Bare Knuckle as mainstream it is now. It's attracting so many talented fighters and stuff like that. So if you're in at half, don't get me wrong, there's some promotions that are just your local wild man from the pub. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But now everyone's an athlete, just like it's a professional sport, just like glove boxing or UFC. It's actual a professional sport now.
One of my friends, she said it was illegal. Now, where's that confused?
But it's never been illegal. I don't know what I'm probably the worst person to ask. I don't know what the actual rules were. It was just outlawed for a while, right. But it was never technically illegal. They just put gloves on their hands.
It was just the betting side of it was illegal. I think.
I don't really know, but it's only become mainstream. I think the last 5-6 years.
That's right. Yeah, it's only recently become mainstream.
And who's been the biggest names in the last 5 or 6 years?
An Irish fella called Jimmy Sweeney. He's mustard. He's a good lad, and he's a nice fella and all. He's a good pal.
So there's some big names out the north, like Manchester, any of those?
There is a promotion up north, but I don't really know. To be honest, I care about what I'm doing, not what everyone else is doing, you know?
Yeah.
Of course.
What's the worst injuries you've sustained through the boxing?
Just my hands. I mean, look at my fucking hands.
Oh, shit.
Look at that finger. It stays like that the whole time. That was from clumping someone years ago.
Yeah.
But that last fight I had, you see that finger? It just stays like that all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Birds love it.
It's got its advantages there.
No, but the thing is, they're the tools of your trade, so you've got to look after them.
Of course.
Nice moisturiser.
Yeah, that's it.
So after a fight, how do you feel psychologically?
Do you know what it is? It's like you spend so long training for a fight and getting the nervous energy and the fucking, the shit.
Anxiety.
Well, it's not even that. It's just the shit. You psych yourself up. And then it's sort of like, I could imagine what drugs feels like. You know, it's what goes up must come down.
Generally.
And then, once it's worn off and everything's back to reality, it's just like, oh, shit. And I'm one of them. I need something to focus on. I need something, a goal or something. Because if I don't, I fall to bits.
Mm. Is it a relief when it's over?
It's a bit of an anticlimax.
Are you already focusing on your next?
Yeah, one of my friends, when he used to box, he used to have this routine. He'd go really, really hard into training.
Who's this?
One of my friends who used to box. He's dead now, unfortunately. Died rock climbing. But anyway, he stopped fighting, sorted his life out, went rock climbing 60 foot to his death down in Devon. Yes, but anyway, before a fight, he would, weeks on end, obviously no training, lots of training, healthy eating, no drinking, not being a dickhead. Yeah. And then every time he'd fight, he'd go off the rails for nearly a week afterwards. Yeah. Are you like that?
I've done it for 3 months this time.
Oh!
Yeah. Because my hand was...
off the rails? Like drinking and...
Drinking, drugs.
No, do you know what my thing was? It was food.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I walk around about 17 stone, yeah? I walk around about 17 stone, but I fight at 14 stone 4 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
So that's what, 2-3 stone. So when you're in training camp, you're so governed by what you can eat and stuff like that, So mine is just my food. I just fucking... eat like a monster. But because I couldn't train, I know it's a shit excuse because I could have gone running or swimming or things that didn't involve using my hand, but for 2-3 months I said I couldn't use my hand, so I just used an excuse to fucking live. I was like Ricky Atten, do you know what I mean?
You weren't doing much then.
Do you do a lot of weights?
Nah, not really. Nah, people always think I do because
you're like a powerhouse.
It's mad. It's
shook
mad.
His hand, man. Almost fucking got ripped off.
Do you know what? I think I should have been a bodybuilder instead of a boxer.
You don't do no weights?
Nah.
He's a runner?
Have you ever?
No, I have done in the past. I'll be honest. I've done drugs. I've done steroids in the past as well. Okay. Do you know what I mean? This was years and years ago. But they sent me. No, I've got a nasty.
Did you get a roid rage?
When I smashed up the Irish geezer when I lived in Lanzarote, on the one who was saying you're not a doorman. I think I was on steroids then, so they just sent me fucking nutty.
Yeah.
They didn't agree with me. Something's.
I've seen that have that effect on people.
But I think I should have been a bodybuilder, not a boxer, because if you see pictures of me when I'm fighting, I'm just I look ripped up to fuck. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If looking good could win you fights, I'd be champion of the universe.
Did your body respond to the steroids quite quickly?
Yeah. I did. I blow up. Thing is with me. You'll notice with me, when I put on weight, it goes on my face. And when I lose weight, I look like a crackhead. I just go sucking it. And when I put on it, I blow out like that, Yeah.
One or the other. So it's all down to food then, that body.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what's your diet like then?
Well, at the minute, it's fucking do whatever. I try to eat semi-clean, do you know what I mean? I try to eat semi-clean, but Yeah.
I heard you like the kebabs, you said.
Well, yeah. That's my secret. That's my vice.
In the run-up to a fight, then, how many hours a day are you training?
So I'll get up. I can't leave the house before six, but normally I'll get up. If I'm not on tag or nothing, I'll get up about five, go for a big run. Depends what stage of the training camp. If you're at the beginning, I'll do long runs and it grows down to sprints and stuff like that. Then I'll do like a strength and conditioning session in the morning. Then whatever I'm doing that day, I'll do during the day if I'm doing a bit of work or whatever or things I've got to do. Then I'll do like my boxing session in the evening and that's it.
And, what strength and conditioning session? What do you actually do in that?
I've got a strength and conditioning coach and he does like a lot of compound moves and functional fitness, you know. Not like lifting weights, but it's more like medicine ball slams and fucking right, shit like that. Do you know what I mean? Things that are actually going to be beneficial in a fight. Yeah.
So what do your family think of your life so far?
Fucking hell. Fucking hell, woman. Put a downer on feet.
Straight on it.
I don't know.
I like to make people cry.
I was holding back on that one.
That's a very expansive question, isn't it? It's,
yeah.
I mean, obviously when I'm fighting, when I fought, like, you know, it's not my mum took in my belts to her school. She works in the school. She got pictures of all the kids and they loved it. Oh. Do you know what I mean? And things like that. And I suppose that aspect, I suppose my mum and probably my dad are very proud of me in that respect.
Of course.
However, I'm very, as much as I love my mum's my best mum, I'm very independent. I'm not a little mummy's boy. So sometimes I don't, but you know, they're not going to be around forever. So I've got to make a bit more time. But then it can't be nice, you know, when I've been in a hospital bed with knife wounds and fucking wounds, axe wounds in my head and stuff like that, that can't be nice. Your mum seeing the child she give birth to, that's what I'd like to say to these youngsters.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You know, when they think it's cool listening to 50 rappers and they're talking, yeah, I'm going to carry a blade, I'm going to do this and shit like that. When your mum sat there crying her fucking eyes out in a hospital holding your hand saying, do you know what I mean? Or, you know, you having to give her a kiss from a prison cell, from a visiting waiting room saying, you know what I mean? You know, having to kiss your mum goodbye and watch her walk out the door. That's what I should be saying. This is what these youngsters should be fucking,
that's right.
You know, that's and that's right. Not me trying to preach. I'm not trying to fucking preach. Do you know what I mean? I'm a little shit. I've been there. I've done that. I know the crack, you know, but there is nothing worse than seeing your mum cry. There's nothing worse than that.
And if you can avoid putting your mum in that situation, you avoid it, don't you?
Of course. People think they're fucking no empathy, they think they're psychopathic. You've got to be a proper fucking wrong'un if you don't have
If you ain't got no love for your mum, that's right. You're a proper wrong'un. You have to check your morals and check what you're in this world for and what you're trying to do to people.
Exactly, mate.
Because Tucker's mum, Mama War, she really looks after him, doesn't she?
Yeah. I'm like best friends with my mum.
Yeah, of course, mate. Come on, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. No matter who I am, like, you know, when you're little, like, you know, you hold your mum's hand walking down the street and then you get to about 10, 11, you think, I can walk to school by myself. Cool. Now, if I go see my mum, I'll happily hold her hand walking down the street.
Happily.
No matter who I'm with, I could be in a room full of fucking naughty villains or something.
Definitely.
And I say, okay, mum, love you. Mum, love you. I would not give a fuck.
I'm exactly the same. Yeah, exactly.
Rep up the mums.
That's not a real matter if you don't love your
mum. Big up the mums out there.
You got mum or what?
Any single mums, get in contact. Joking.
What do you want from life now, Darren?
I want to put one through Jennifer Lopez. You're so beautiful, though.
Thank you.
Oh. No, the same as what everyone wants. Do you know what I mean? I want fucking Sorry Please to leave me alone. That's for one thing. You know.
Come on, Sorry Please. Give him.
Come on,
give
Sorry
me
a fucking. He's a good
go
guy,
after,
man.
Go he after proper villains.
Guy. He's a change, man.
Yeah. You gotta give people a chance,
change,
isn't
man.
That?
But fucking you know, year 2022. My resolutions.
Yeah.
I've got to be more patient because I'm fucking impatient.
Brain is so fast, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but I'm so impatient. Even if someone's walking or driving far slow in front of me, I'm like, fucking
run them over.
Do you know what I mean? I'm the worst person. Yeah. And to get right with technology, because I am really shit with. I am the worst person with technology. Really am. Like they say, oh, can you just give me a PayPal and a bank transfer. I said, what the fuck is that? I don't know what that is.
Do you have online banking?
But no, nothing like that. Before I refused to learn because I hate the way it is now. Strictly cash, you know what I mean? Boom, 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 you know. But I understand that now you can't do that. I remember taking about five bags out of my account once, and the woman behind the thing was like, what are you doing with it? I said, excuse me. Yeah. She goes, well, what are you taking that out for? I said, it's got fuck all to do with
you.
Thank you. It's got nothing to do with you. It's to do with me.
Yeah.
You know, it was for something genuine, like buy a car or something like that. Mm. And she's like, I'm sorry, we can't let you. I said, this is the whole reason.
Serious?
Yeah, I said, this is
what
the whole.
What was that?
It doesn't matter, does it? Lloyds.
But listen. But you going Lloyds.
No, yeah. Fucking Lloyds, you wankers.
Fuck Lloyds.
I said to him, this is the whole reason I don't fucking trust you wankers. It's because you're giving me a hard degree. Eventually, I had to speak on the phone to someone. I was like, look, I'll give them some reason. And they give it to me. But I shouldn't have had to do that just to take
it. No, you shouldn't have to take your own money out.
Yeah, but that's what you've got to do.
Well, you've got to order it 24 hours in advance.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Fuck that. But yes, I will learn technology and be more patient this year. That's my New Year's resolution.
Do you think you've addressed your demons?
I think I'm learning to. Mm. I understand. For ages, I was one of these that, you know, I'd blame everyone else but not me. Now I realise that I'm not the complete, you know, I'm not the complete person and there is room for change, you know. There clearly has to be.
For me, like, when you realise the same things keep happening around me...
Yes.
Perhaps there's a pattern here that's coming from my brain.
100%.
Yeah.
There's some people in the world, you know... People say, do you seek revenge? I don't seek... That's one thing. I think... I don't know if that comes with maturity or what. I don't seek revenge now because I think people... Karma is... I do believe in karma to a certain degree.
Definitely.
And I think some people who have bad intentions and have fucked people over, that it will come back on them eventually, you know?
Tenfold.
And they'll have to live with that for the rest of their life.
Right, that's right.
You know?
Definitely.
I'd like to think... I don't think I'll ever be an angel. I don't think I ever will. However, I do want to portray the image... Not portray an image, because that'd be fake. I do want to go through life being a better person than I have been in the past. Before, I used to go into a pub or go into a bar, the place would leave. It'd be empty. I'd fucking walk into a boozer. The whole place would be fucking dead. Imagine if I'd have died that week. It'd be about me mum at my funeral. They'd probably be about it. You know, I'd rather... Someone once told me it's better to build bridges than burn bridges.
Of course.
And it's so... I'd rather someone go... You know, Daddy was a bit of a shit when he was younger, but he's actually a really genuine, nice fella, you know? And I'd much rather be remembered than that. And Darren, he'd hit you with a bat as soon as look at you. Do you know what I mean? I used to be called unpredictable because I could sit there joking with you 1 minute. Next thing, I could spin my nut and I'd be very fucking aggressive and want to rip your throat out. And I don't want to be remembered like that. I'd rather, but it is a work in progress.
Well, you find there's issues with ourselves that we deal with over the years and we learn about ourselves more,
course,
don't we?
Of course. There's no guidebook on how to do it.
There ain't.
You get these people with university degrees that say it's your psychology makeup, it's because your mum and dad split up when you were younger.
Everyone's different.
It's, you know, you've even got that in you, isn't you?
Yes,
you're some,
right.
You know, look at me and my brother. We both had the same, I was discussing my brother earlier. We both grew up, same mum, same
dad. His brother's a hippie.
My brother's like a hippie. Both same mum, same dad, same environment. I think he might have got dropped on his head as a baby or something, but still, we are so different. So people that say, you know, there wasn't enough green areas to play in, or he didn't have the right father, you know, input or something like that. I think that's bollocks because we had the same and we've both completely. My brother's never been nicked in his life, you know.
Everyone's an individual, aren't they?
Of course they are.
Yeah, Wildman's brothers ended up like bank managers and IT guys, and then he ended up the maniac.
Yeah, you see.
I got sent a picture yesterday, one of my friend's little kid's thing, and I signed him a poster when I won my title, you know, to matey boy, I won't say his name, from Darren, you know, European champion of sand, and he loved it. That was the best thing ever, you know. And my mum, he goes to my mum's school, she took in my belts and that, got a picture with him, and all the kids loved it, and things like that. If you can put a smile on their face and things like that, that's your job done, isn't it? You
of
know
course.
Most definitely.
How did you first get talking to the kids? Was it through the gyms and through the sports?
A bit of both. Someone said, you know, you've been about a little bit, so to say, you know, because like when I met you, like a couple of people have messaged me about podcasts, but there's nothing. I don't know why people want me on the podcast. There's nothing interesting about me. Do you know what I mean? I'm just a very, very. I'm not a millionaire drug baron. I'm not a fucking mafia hitman. I'm just your average British working class geezer. Do you know
well,
what
that's
I mean?
What makes it interesting. Yeah, you don't have to be.
If people are interested, then so be it.
You've got a big personality. Yeah,
you have definitely.
Got a big knob and all. I'm joking.
Big heart. Big heart.
No, big heart, that's what I meant, yeah.
So when you were talking to those kids for the first time then, how did you feel going into that room with them? Did you get a bit of butterflies?
See, I'm one of these people, I don't really... I can adapt to any situation, yeah? So, like, you could put me in the room of commons, the House of Commons, wherever it's called, or you could put me with a bunch of junkies and I could still act the same, or I could adapt to that situation. Mm. And seeing their little eyes white up and listen, and when I was going through what I was talking about, they was loving every minute. They was lapping it all up and stuff like that, but I wasn't glamorising things. I was just saying, look, this is what happens, you know? Get yourself into the boxing gym, get yourself into a bit of sport, music, whatever, something positive.
Positive,
you know?
Like you said, an important thing, like you got to focus on something.
Of course.
I think it's important for everyone to kind of focus on something, isn't it?
Of course.
Everyone's got to have something to focus on.
100%, 100%. Yeah. It's such a shame some people won't allow you to do that, but, you know.
I think hearing your story on this podcast and the other stuff you've done, people seeing the other side of you, and that is going to change minds.
Well, yeah.
Don't you think?
Definitely.
Yeah.
They were saying some people might tell you I'm an angel, some people might tell you you're an arsehole. Believe both of them, I act accordingly. And nothing that could be very true, do you know what I mean? That's definitely depends on how you treat
the
individual.
And then another thing, you can't judge someone off of the opinion of others.
No, exactly.
That's my opinion in life. I never judge someone off of the opinion of others.
Do you know what I respect? Say there's 10 people in the room.
Yeah.
9 people are going, oh, I don't like that digger. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I respect that one person that stands up and go, well, he's never done fuck
all
wrong to me.
He's never done fuck all to me.
Do you know what I mean?
That's the person I respect.
Normally, the 10th person will go, oh, yeah, I don't like him neither.
Yeah, I respect
that one person that stands up and goes, well, he's never done fuck all wrong to me.
Yeah. How can I get upset with someone I've never had a problem with?
Exactly.
Even if I'm in a room with 20 people and they've all had a problem, like the one person says he's never had a problem, I've never had a problem with him either. Yeah. What am I going to feel like that towards the guy?
It's like that, you know.
You want us to join their side, don't
you? Yeah, well, this is it.
Exactly.
This is it.
And if you don't agree with him, then you're in the wrong and they'll turn on you.
You're with him then.
Yeah.
That's usually jealousy over the person. And they're trying to get people to hate the person.
We were discussing that fighter, weren't we, that's being blacklisted at the minute. Do you remember early?
Oh, Decker Heggie?
Yeah. So as I say, I don't know him, so I can't judge. But what, he slapped some bird's ass in the toilet? Do you know what I mean? And now he's getting called a wrong and a nonce. I don't know if that was just what happened, but if that's only what he's been convicted of or known to do, then do you know what I mean?
It's not a bit really harsh.
People.
But as I say, I don't know. So he might be a wrong and he might not. I don't know him.
People get hysterical online and it just gets 10 times whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had to admit to this Mickey Mouse controlling behaviour, which is a fucking joke. Next thing you know, people was writing comments like, lock him up for the rest of his life, get him shooting by firing squad. He's as bad as a rapist and a paedophile. I'm like, fucking
fuck
hell
that.
All because I bought me bird flowers once. Do you know what I mean?
You can't take, I mean, people write, I don't even take notice of what
it's a sheep, isn't it?
Sheep. It's easy to write behind the keyboard, isn't it?
That's all I get is keyboard warriors. No doubt, when you put this video up, I'll have 300 people calling me out. Oh, bare knuckle boxer, I'll fight you. come to my house. I live 3 million miles away. They won't say it to your face. They'll just write a negative comment.
They got a fake account with no picture.
Exactly. That's probably one of the only good things about being shit with technology is I don't really hear about things. I get people sending me text messages. Look what so-and-so's written about you. And I really don't give a fuck.
Who gives a fuck?
So if you do want to fight Darren, he wants £50,000 in his bank in advance. It's Lloyd's, I'll have you know. And a limo. He wants a limo picking him up.
Yeah. I tell you what, next time you fight, I'll perform. When you're coming in the ring.
You do.
Yeah, come on. And you need to hire, pay to hire his original prosecutor. She's going to walk him into the ring.
No, I'll probably get banged up for leaving when I leave here.
So if young people want you to speak at their whatever, how can they reach out to you if you're not on the socials?
Well, I'm on the Instagram.
Instagram.
You know, but like I say, I say to anyone out there, there was nothing interesting about me. I'm just a bog-standing, boring, normal fella from a normal area.
You're not boring, bro. I've been very far from boring.
You're definitely humble.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to say to the viewers who've been on this journey with us today?
No. I think I've said enough, and I don't shut up.
I want to ask one question. So,
how
many days a week do you work out when you're fighting?
Every day. Well, I might have a rest.
7 days.
Six days.
And when you're not fighting?
Fucking don't do nothing. I do. I'll go down the gym and do a little bit, hit the bags or just do a bit of shadow boxing.
Like 6 days. How many hours a day?
Probably about in total for about 5 hours, all spread out. Do you know what I mean?
Why, Tugger? You thinking of doing it?
No, because I work out a lot myself. I work out like 6 days a week myself. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But obviously, I'm not a fighter, like, so I'm just interested in the
There's me thinking I'll be seeing you in the ring this year.
Yeah, you can never know.
March 19th.
He's going to train me now.
March 19th, Manchester.
You can't do anything half hearted. If you want to be the best at something, you can't just go, you know, have 20 pints of Stella at a weekend and go into a fight. You know what I mean? Because you deserve to lose. You've got to give it everything.
This is it. You've got to train for it.
It's your job, isn't it?
Exactly. That's why I was interested. And obviously your diet.
Yeah, everything.
It's very important. Yeah.
As a fighter then, do you watch any like fighter podcasts like Joe Rogan or anything like that?
Nah, not really.
No.
I don't know if it's ignorant or just can't be fucked.
It's probably quite liberating to be detached from that environment of crazy.
Yeah, just don't interest me. You really don't. People go, did you watch this UFC fight? Did you watch this? Don't really give a fuck. Mm. What am I fighting on it? No.
I'm not really
interested then, you know?
Yeah, if you want to watch a fight, like you said earlier on, go and watch an old classic Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Joe and James, got any questions before we wrap it up?
Boxing, do you still have like your wrist wrapped?
Yeah, you wrist wrapped, and it's like the first fight I had, it was like proper padded, like you know, like a boxer has it under his glove, bandages, all like that. And then the second one was very similar, and then the last couple has been cut off there, so the wrist is very, because I've got a dodgy right wrist, too much wanking as a nipper. I'm joking. And it's just to there, so your knuckles are all exposed, you know. So that's the thing is, when people say, oh, you had an easy fight, there's no such thing as an easy fight in bare knuckle, because you're more just as likely to fuck your hands up as you are your face. Yeah. Gloves were invented to protect the hands, not the head.
That's right.
How many times you broke them?
Over the years, fuck knows. Because I'm a typical man. If I get an injury, I don't go to the hospital until you know, my arm hanging off. I think you might want to see this, doc, you know?
Yeah. Well, man's like that. Have you spoke to your probation officer about getting a ankle bracelet knuckle duster made?
No, I don't think that. Do you know what? I was at my probation the other day. I got there because I was like, as you see earlier, I like to arrive 10 minutes earlier than everyone else. And I got there. Anyway, that's my own fault for being there 10 minutes early. They kept me waiting for 45 minutes. Kept me waiting for 45 minutes. Right? But if I was late, they'd breach me. I'd be back in fucking court.
Prison. Yeah.
It's all right for them to be late.
Exactly. They should take that time off. If I was ever late, they should give that back to me.
Of course they should.
Yeah. All right, let us know what you thought about this podcast. Sorry, please, you watched my videos, some of you guys. Darren is reformed. He deserves a break. He wants to speak to more young people. He's got the heart of a mountain lion. Come on, give him a pass. This campaign, this vendetta.
Or if you're going to nick me, at least do it for things I've done, not for fucking bullshit. Come on.
Yeah, we're here filming in Surrey. We know some of you are watching it. So, let us know in the comments what you think. And everybody's socials will be in the description box. If you are a young person and you're interested in Darren speaking to you, like he said, go through his Insta. And, you know, obviously, you'll see what he could do under the ankle bracelet circumstances. Nothing too far away from this area. All right, this is where we do our group hug.
Thank you.
Fuck off, no one's hugging me. Are you actually being serious? You're fucking joking me.
No, I'll come in with Jen.
That's got to be the thing I've ever seen.
That was all that Brian talk.
Well, thank you.
No, that was classic, man. I really appreciate it.
Here at Boomer and Jen, we offer a wide range of organic or recycled clothing. We all know our planet is important. We only have this one. So it's vital that we all work together to slow down and reverse the changes to the environment. Whilst we all know that big industry are having a significant effect on pollution, here at Boomer and Jen, we believe that if we all make small changes, we can do our part. Fast fashion causes detrimental effects to the planet. Not only is nearly 20% of global wastewater produced by the fast fashion industry, but there is a considerable amount of fast fashion ending up in landfill. So let's move away from fast fashion items that are only worn once or twice and start wearing extremely comfortable, durable and environmentally friendly clothing and ethical jewellery. Boomer and Jen was founded in a quiet town in Devon in 2018. It has now gone from strength to strength as the world is becoming more aware of the current climate situation, helping our customers to buy sustainable, quality clothing. All of our products are fair trade and registered with the Global Organic Textiles Standard Association. Check us out on organiccottonclothing.co.uk.